Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. What are we, 210? Sorry, I missed 209. I was on an airplane flying far, far away.
You were here on
this special. Don't bleep that out.
What? Pat, two podcasts ago, Pat said a bad word that I edited out of the podcast, and apparently he didn't like that. He has said worse. This was just a particularly bad word. Don't say it again.
No, it didn't bother me that you edited it out. Okay. It bothered me that you didn't say anything like, I'm going to edit that out.
Oh, well, I was talking with Josh, and Josh said, you better edit that out.
He did jokingly say he's going to edit it out. I didn't think he was serious, and he texted me and said, when was that he said that?
Yeah, I was trying to find it.
Well, even then, all he had to do was say, hey, when did you say it? I knew exactly when I said it.
How about him? He's like, guess what I said during Batman Eternal talk.
So we took that out. But joining me tonight are...
Josh, Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
And calling in from the sunny Florida.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's Todd.
There you go. I tried to give you a cue, man.
You thought it was the other guy that was calling in.
Right. Fair enough.
We're going to call it the Toddcast today.
No, that's somebody else's
name taken.
Yeah. We don't want to infringe on that copywritten thing.
Copywritten.
The Toddcast, yes. But Todd and I were roomies out in Portland. Much fun was had.
Very much. I'm still trying to recover.
Yes, I had fun unpacking. I'm still unpacking all my stuff. Going, hey, wait, oh, there it is. So, what?
Nothing.
I'm sorry.
What? Are you
sorry.
But.
What?
Nothing.
Sorry. So, what? Yeah.
Sounds like the title.
Nothing, sorry.
But, so Todd, so while we have you, because I know you might zip out of here, what was your biggest takeaway from the Comics Pro meeting?
Oh, I'm still reflecting on that a lot. It's so overwhelming. You know, it's probably the best thing is just finding out what all of these publishers have planned, or at least somewhat planned for the next few months, and seeing which ones I really like and which ones I'm a little bit cautious on, and go from there.
Like Battlefield Earth?
Oh, no, that's going to be a hit.
Is it? Okay, good.
Well, according to what I hear, we'll become a Scientology church. We'll be tax-free.
Oh, that's a good plan. I'll get into that later, don't worry.
You might want to be careful not put it all in the air. You get sued.
No, they were there. They talked to us.
They were there.
Yeah, we were just talking about a book that we have to order.
Do you have to order?
Not have to order, but order.
I think that we have to.
Yeah, that little chip they inserted in the base of my skull.
See, it's things like this that get you sued.
You know, it was funny. I sent Marco an email. Every year I send him an email recapping just my thoughts from the meeting. Last year it was like little things like, you know, can you put our names bigger on the badge? Because I couldn't read anybody's name. And you're trying to... And you're trying to sneak a former employee just texting me. Sorry.
Actually, I have 5 news.
Yeah, exactly. Do you use Mobi, Todd?
I do.
Okay, yeah, no, my former employee is setting up, and he was trying to install his first invoice, and he kept sending me screenshots, and I'm like, no, that doesn't look right, So, but sadly, I've been using it for 6 years, and I don't remember what to tell him.
It's so easy to explain over the phone.
Yes, yeah, actually via text. So, but he realized he never imported previews, so hence there was a bigger problem. Okay. Sorry. But I in my email to Marco this year was, I thought everything was great, didn't really have any complaints. The only thing I recommended to him was maybe setting up a retailer advisory board, because Todd and I were in the same round table, so we heard the same pitches and everything. And it was interesting getting so many of the similar comments from the different publishers, especially like about posters. They asked if you know, what they could send us to help us, and we kept saying posters, but not big posters, little ones, and I still remember it was the first one. It was the heavy metal people were really surprised. And someone else was like, oh, we never thought of doing a smaller size poster. And I'm like, maybe just these people, you know, these once a year meetings are great, but maybe some of these publishers could use a little more regular basis, hey, what if we did this? What if we did something like that? The other thing I had was, you know, like some of these promos seem not quite well thought out. And maybe if they flew them past us, we could say, well, you know, Boom tried that, it didn't work. And I also mentioned Valiant and just the Valiant promotion effort, where every time I cut open a box, I'm thinking about Valiant. Every time I'm writing with a Sharpie, I'm thinking with Valiant.
True.
Whereas
true.
Some of these other things, you know, they send us stuff, you know, like, what was it, that last one we were at, Humanoids, and, oh, yes, these this Inkle stand-up thing. Yeah, I'm really going to pay attention to that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody took those.
I did. I brought it. But, yeah, I mean, like, what was the point of giving me this? What am I going to do with it as opposed to, you know, I think Valiant is some of the most smart stuff.
When you think like
Dark Horse Davis,
the goon open close sign,
right? Just little things like that, yeah. But
those are much more helpful for me.
Yeah, I'd love to keep talking to the double take guy too.
All right.
Just
to talk to the comic drawer guy.
Oh God. We went for a nice little walk during that,
didn't we?
Just. Something, you know, here's a box. Got it. I've talked to you 6 years in a row now.
Yeah.
It's a box. So, not a lot of good input. Although, I will say, the BCW guys blew your mind, so that was awesome.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, that was...
Still recovering.
Still, I understand. They make dividers now that where the tabs fold down, so when you put the box on, they don't get crushed.
And in colors.
In colors.
That's the suggest- one I would like would be colors.
Yeah, they're doing them in colors.
I
never
felt that the tabs on my current dividers caused a problem.
Okay,
no,
well,
mine don't either.
That's like the box.
But I have her box.
Right,
a
right.
Taller,
they're,
yeah.
They're
right.
taller, and sometimes they're like flush with the top.
Yeah, if they're flush with the top.
Who's buying shorter boxes?
Well, to be honest, you look at mine, and my box is over here. Every time I put a box on top, it crushes them down. So... Mm-hmm. I recommended scratch and make them smell like 1960s paper.
Yeah,
you know, so it smells cool. Like you have old books when you open it.
I guess since I don't put boxes on top of each other like that, I just have wire shelves.
Gotcha. Mm. Ooh, aren't you fancy?
Well, what's the point of stacking boxes on top? You can't get to anything then.
That's
well,
why
true, but
boxes.
Most of it is a space issue.
Get a bigger place then. Get out of your mom's basement.
Jeez.
See, and you bleep me for what I say.
No,
just
one word.
Your audience.
Just one word, Pat. One word. Yeah, and it was fun. It's been fun talking to everybody as they come in, asking what we learned. Because I'm like, you know, they had the press releases up as they were talking to us, so it wasn't like we knew anything before anybody here. But I have to say, I was very impressed with DC because that was an angry room when they sat down.
Oh yeah.
And it was fun. That night, I was sitting with Tim and Hank Knowles from DC. And he said he pushed them to do the rebirth at the beginning. They were going to hold that to the end. And I said that was a very good decision. And he said they were very concerned because after they showed the movie, there was no reaction from the crowd. And I said, well, I said, here's why. I said, we were not in a good frame of mind when you came out. But after the movie, we were kind of like, okay, tell me more. What else do you got? Because we were kind of, the anger had dissipated a little. It's like, okay, you're saying the right things, but we're not going to stand up and applaud yet.
Yeah.
We're still not real thrilled with you, but okay, I like where this is going. And then as they talked about the returnability.
We got a little lighter.
Yeah, we got that made us, you know, less risk on us. And then I hadn't thought about it when they first talked about the double shipping. I'm like, okay, twice a month, whatever. I hadn't equated, this is something I was going to go into later, but so you're going to get Batman on week one and Detective on week two, Batman
week
three,
three,
Detective week four. So
yeah,
every week, you're going to have a Batman book and a Superman book every week. That's going to help because I'm looking at next week's invoice. I think the only Batman book we have is 66 versus... what's his name? But the other thing is, they're dropping all prices to $2.99.
That's nice, but I hate this double shipping, especially when 17 titles are double
shipping. Yeah, but they're only shipping 48 total.
It still seems like a lot.
It's
especially
actually
when,
less.
Yeah, it's actually less. And Marvel shipping 96. So
both of your Green Lantern titles are going to double ship. Both of your Batman titles are going to double ship. So that means someone who wants to just get a 1 week, a month taste of these characters can't.
Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Action, Detective, Hal Jordan and Green Lantern Corps.
That sounds more like a
Justice
Corps,
League. Yeah, I think that's what that is. Cyborg, Deathstroke. which I don't know why Deathstroke is double shipping, but whatever.
Harley, I don't know why Cyborg's still continuing.
Yeah, that too. Suicide Squad, JLA.
That a big seller for you, Todd?
Not really.
Okay.
Yep. It just it seems weird to me that I would think like Batman would double ship, but then maybe Detective be once a month.
Yeah, that's
how I thought they were going to do it, but you know, yeah, I think. But
Green
they just
Lantern's
said
double ship, and then let's
get out there, best foot forward with our best books.
It's I mean,
but then I say Iron Man's double shipped since it started, Spider-Man's double shipped since it started.
Yeah, and
so.
I don't buy any.
I know, but I'm just saying when people are complaining about it, I'm like, we're already up to issue 8 of Iron Man.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's going around saying, "Oh, I really love that Marvel ships these books so erratically."
No, but they don't complain that Marvel ships those books
Marvel,
so erratically.
Marvel
no,
is Donald Trump, essentially. Marvel could shoot someone and not get any bad.
So you're saying Marvel is Donald Trump?
Yeah, I said Marvel is Donald Trump, essentially.
Wow.
Then no matter what they do,
well, I know
no
you're Marco Rubio your territory, so.
At least it'll be easier than the, like, 18 Supermans we got this week.
Yeah, that was not good. We got Superman. Superman Man.
No.
What is it called? I don't know. The Neil Adams one, then we got Superman Wonder Woman.
Superman or something.
Yeah, and,
Lois and Clark,
yeah. So, but no Batman.
Unless you count Batman and Robin Eternal.
Well, okay.
And don't we?
He's on the cover of Lois and Clark. Batman.
Oh, okay. He was in last week's American Alien. That was awesome. I love that. Sorry, tangent. But yeah, it was funny. Just like somebody from like Overground could use a retailer's ear, because I remember when he talked to us last year, and it was like, no, you're doing this all wrong. And then he talked to us again this year, and it's like, well, you're doing it better, but you're still not doing it great. So. Whereas, I realize the Devil's Due guys did it well. The Aftershock guys, I think, are doing it well. That's nice that you're sending your insects to someone. That was kind of you.
Wasn't that kind of?
Actually, I grabbed another one while I was there, so I have an extra.
Well, I know why.
Well,
inside baseball over here.
Yeah.
No.
I'll show you. I don't want to see your insects.
But, no, it was another good meeting. It did end really weird, and it was interesting to see all the comments online about, well, it's because a wedding was coming in, and we were running late because Gail Simone got lost. And it was...
It got a little hokey towards the end.
Yeah. It was like, wait, when... Because we were supposed to have the Comics Pro only part, but there were tons of publishers still sitting in there.
Yeah.
And the award thing, you know, David Gabriel. Oh, okay, here you go, bye. You know, nobody even picked it up for him. It was very awkward.
Here's Bob Wayne accepting it
again. That would have been funny. But yeah, so that really kind of fell flat as we gave the award to David Gabriel, and even the Marvel guy didn't even step up to get it. Marvel guy didn't even bring it. Yeah. He didn't even bother to bring business cards. I'm like, that was telling. Not only was he not taking notes on the questions we had, but didn't even have
My
business cards.
My guess is he didn't have them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he ran out, but I...
Yeah, I don't think...
Interns are getting these cards.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. But, hey, Deadpool Gambit, woo!
Yeah, Force Awakens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're doing an adaptation of that, aren't they? Yeah, I think that
was
something.
Yeah, 5 issues.
Yeah.
Are they going to put Jackson in it?
Jackson?
The Green Rabbit.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you can ask them to, and they'll go, uh-huh, okay, yeah, we'll take that under advisement.
More most likely,
without
yes,
writing anything down.
That's a good idea. We didn't think of that.
That's Marvel thinking right there.
We have magic powers.
I think that the only thing that got the room a little heated for DC was, other than that, the superhero girls.
Yeah, but I think that was a losing cause for them going in.
Yeah, that was definitely a pitchfork and torches.
Did they try to explain why they kind of shafted the retailers on that?
It wasn't intentional. It was completely that just happened to happen. That they waited for our orders on Monday, and then Tuesday they made that press release.
Because
it just so happened.
Just happened.
Because large organizations like that, they don't plan things out.
One hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing.
Yep, that's the way it normally works.
But yeah, that was about the only heat they really got, where I thought it could have been much, much uglier.
They did get a lot of praise for a lot of their clips.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, sorry, I handed Insects one over to Pat, and he's going, what the... Yeah, so... Yeah. Now you understand? Okay, thank you. Let's see, Voodoo Donuts were good.
Absolutely.
That's about it.
Yeah.
The after party that you didn't stick around for. Valiant on Thursday night?
Was it Thursday? Or
oh no, it was Friday. Yeah.
Thursday night was a completely different story.
Thursday was Valiant. Yeah, Thursday was Valiant. Yeah, that wasn't good.
The penthouse suite.
Yeah, poor decisions were made.
Oh.
Yeah. Nothing's wrong with Valiant other than they ply us with free booze.
Way too much.
Yeah, he was bartending too. Adam was bartending, so it really wasn't my fault.
That's not really their fault that you don't know how to say no.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. We'll blame them. But somebody else got stuck up there Friday night. It was Tim, I think, and he's like, I couldn't get out. He was talking with Hibbs. He's like, he couldn't get away. Yeah, so that was
kind of
funny.
No one can escape that, but you definitely need alcohol.
Yes, yes. He was up there when the security came. So.
Oh, nice.
Noise complaint. Yes, it is. It is very weird.
You don't want to see us, Dave. You're too innocent.
I don't think I'm allowed to look at that.
No. Well, what's it rated? Yeah, you can see Deadpool, though. You just can't read Insects.
It's rated not Dave. And D for not Dave.
I was trying to think if I had any goodies that I came across that I haven't, I didn't remember getting, but nothing good yet, other than TSA. I decided to check my bag, and TSA decided to unpack it and repack it for me after I took great care. So, all my nice signed Jim Lee poster and everything were all destroyed.
I think the Hanna-Barbera comics that they kind of highlighted kind of helped explain that a little better.
Yeah.
Specifically, Wacky Racers being a take on Mad Max.
Yes. Yeah.
That actually sounds so awesome.
Yeah, basically, they don't recommend it for kids. And all the cars were designed by the Mad Max designers.
Really?
Yeah, for Wacky Racers.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They didn't show us any pictures of characters, but they said, wait till you see Dick Dastardly.
Oh,
yeah.
He gets his face ripped off.
That's great.
He'll be with the guitar on the front of him.
As long as Buckley's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember sitting on the sofa and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, don't read that one.
No. But I'm like, oh God, I hope Deck doesn't walk up behind me. Sorry, I put Insects away. No more Insects.
You better.
Yeah. That was a, whoa, I've seen nudity in comics before. I've read Tarot, but yo. Not willingly, but more in a case of, what is this that people are buying and going, well... We'll be bagging this one.
Did you get the chance to finish that Dark Knight book?
No, I haven't. It's at home. I left it at home. I'm not far past where he comes back to work.
Okay.
But I know you really liked it.
Definitely one of my picks of that I highly recommend to anybody that liked Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, I think that's in the current previews. They gave us an actual copy of the Batman Dark Knight by Paul Dini. It's like a true story.
Oh, yeah. That sounds really interesting.
I will be ordering a lot of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got about half of it read on the plane.
When he was assaulted?
Yeah. But really good. The art is just amazing. Because, I mean, I know Eduardo Risso art, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's him, but a lot more fleshed out. He's not being Vertigo. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell them about any of the people we got to meet? Some of the surprises.
I showed them my Kevin Eastman sketch.
Right. That was pretty
cool. Yeah, and then we also met. Well, yeah, go ahead.
Denny O'Neill was kind of a surprise. We didn't even know it. Doing those round tables, and we get to the Hero Initiative table, and the main guy was like, "Hi, I'm so and so." And this is, and we're like, we know who that is.
Well, it's Jim McLaughlin, who I knew from old Wizard days. But yeah, and it's like, yeah, we know who Denny O'Neill is. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we know who that is. But that was pretty awesome. Then, of course, we got to see all the creators. One who I don't know how I had time to to be there because he should be writing.
Right. Cullen Bunn was there. Yeah. Yeah.
He writes everything.
Yeah, I asked the other writers if they were concerned that he was edging in on their books. He's talking to the editors behind their backs.
Because he's probably going to take it over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I liked that table last year, and I liked it again this year, where one of the round tables was just creators who were basically saying, what can we do to help you? Which I thought was really neat. Both years I got Josh Williamson, and it was cool that he recognized me.
Right.
We had some fun because Todd's been doing this, I think, 1 year longer than I have. And then we had one guy who had only been open for 5 months and another guy who hadn't even opened a store yet. And they were kind of following us around. One was in our group. One guy just kind of joined our group. I never asked why. And so it was kind of fun where at some tables I lead or Todd would lead the conversation, especially when it was people I knew and I had something I really wanted to say to them. But other times where it was something that either we already knew in their pitch wasn't going to, not work on us, but we didn't need to hear it. We just kind of said, talk to them, tell them what your product is, what your stuff is.
Buying.
I already know. Yeah. I felt that way at the bonfire one too. I was like, we're already signed up. And then he started telling us about this new program and we're like, tell me more. It was very, very good. So I'll tell.
They were some marshmallows.
No. But it's something that was something that was pretty cool.
that was one of the highlights from the first day of
Round Tables. Yeah, I don't remember what DC was, because I had dropped my badge. It came off at the Hero Initiative, and I had to walk back to get it. And
yeah, I don't even remember.
Yeah, Vince was trying to show me. Oh, he had that the Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman Earth One. We got to look at.
Yeah.
How's it look?
But there, it looks good.
Yeah, about the same as the others.
Yeah.
Neat seeing the DC collection.
I've already committed
the. Yeah, those were good. Anyway.
But doesn't it look weird though? In all the previews, it looks really
it
out there.
It looks a little.
Josh doesn't like her face.
I don't like. I love Yannick Paquette's art. I think everything I've seen from this Wonder Woman book looks terrible though. But generally, I love his art.
I didn't look at it too closely.
They probably should have used lady for Legend of Wonder Woman because she's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, Deluz, something like that.
Deluz.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, the absolute most bizarre one was they're doing a Battlefield Earth 21 issue adaptation of the 8,000 page book, and these two ladies sitting there like, it's gonna be great, and we're like, who's gonna want this?
Nobody wants it, but okay.
But then they kept slamming the movie. So I'm like, okay, so who's your audience? Your audience is the people that love this book, but why are they going to want to spend $80-some on a comic abridgment of the book they love? Or you're going to be trying to sell it to the people that like the movie that maybe, I'm like, if there's something new in this, what's the point?
That's like Red Dianetics.
Yeah, but it's like that Game of Thrones book. It's like, what's the point of this? Most people have read the book, seen the TV show. They're not going to want to see yet another version. So, yeah, I didn't quite understand their purpose. And who was down in the basement that didn't make a whole lot of sense? Other than the drawer box guy. God. There wasn't too much bad down there. Yeah, IDW was good. I like the Devil's Due and the Aftershock guy. But I had just seen them in Baltimore, so that wasn't...
I don't think... We missed Valiant, and we almost missed Diamond.
That was funny. Of all the people to miss, we missed Valiant.
Skipped Valiant?
No, we went to the Valiant table and they weren't there. So we had missed Diamond because we took our break when we were supposed to, but apparently we took it like 10 minutes early because they were running behind. So we missed the Diamond one, and we had to talk to Diamond about the Scully figure. I talked to you.
Oh my god!
I explained to all of them. Yes, the problem with that one.
Diamond also had they have a sale list for us where some items were as much as 24 cents off.
Yeah.
Wow.
There were some typos. Yeah.
So, a few typos.
It said retail price, normal discount, your price. And the your price was 25 cents off the first price. It's like,
I think I'll take the regular
home. Can I play full retail on this? I don't want to take advantage of you guys. But we pointed it out to one of the Diamond guys, and he had a little fun with the guy whose department made the flyer. I am glad also that they gave us till Friday to fill those out and get them in. Because I always hate when it's, turn it in by the end of the show. It's like, I don't know what I need.
I don't even know what I don't have.
Yeah, I had an inkling what I needed from IDW, so I did that to get the sketch cover, but...
Yeah. I think what else there was that stood out.
I know there were at least a couple eye rolls when we hit the table.
We heard about Civil War II a little bit, not extensively, but more than we did about Secret Wars.
A little bit, yeah, but I knew more going in. Secret Wars, we were totally lost, and then last year. You'll find out. Yeah, I hope I will, but I'd like to know a little more now.
Two pizzas.
We knew that going in, yeah.
One topping will carry over.
Yeah.
It's all paid to roll them on.
One, no.
You were about ready to say it, though.
No, I was going to say, I don't know what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Yeah.
That's pretty well done.
But, yeah, other than that, I didn't hit the boom RV at all, only because it was, I don't know how far it was parked away, but I'm like...
Well, I'm a little scared walking.
Yeah, I don't want to walk through a town I don't know in the middle of the night after drinking, trying to find my hotel. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah.
Well, last year we were accused of being World War I veterans. I'm like, how old are you?
What? This was today's cover. This cover is today's cover.
That's what it says right there.
Oh, duh. Previous cover show.
He doesn't even know how to read a previews. Come on, Josh.
Why would they show the previews cover? Because
the new one's not ready.
This is like
just say
3 months.
Cover not finalized? Something?
Yeah, normally they show not final cover. Yeah.
I try to teach them. We've only done 200 of these. Come on now.
Josh, we did learn about the multiple previews we'll be handing out.
Yeah, soon we're going to have, I think it's going to be an 8-part catalog.
Up to the back dock, please.
Yeah, because next month it's going to be previews, the regular previews book, the Marvel insert, the DC insert, and the Image insert that are all going to be individual books. Yes. DC I can understand because they want to withhold. They're not going to be in the book next month because they don't want to release all their stuff for June until WonderCon. They want to make a big splash, so we will get the book that week. Image is now, for what is it, at least the next 12 months? Going to be doing
somewhere around that.
Doing a special Image. I forget what they called it.
The Image Plus book.
Yes, that is going to be in their part of the catalog, in addition to with creator interviews and 4 pages of Walking Dead.
I know the Negan backstory.
Yes,
exactly.
I hope those are all mint. Can I call those in damaged if they're not mint?
I would think you'd have to.
I'll explain why it's a problem later.
Okay.
Well, here, Todd, how many copies of previews do you get in?
15. I don't do it very heavy.
Okay. How many copies of Walking Dead do you sell?
Around 50.
Okay, so there's the problem.
That's a problem, yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Tim, another of my buddies, gets in 3 copies of previews. So now he has to buy them at $2 a piece for those customers
who want Walking Dead.
Right,
yeah.
For 4 pages. Hence, you know, one of those things where, you might not have quite thought this one through. That's where the...
See, I thought the Image Plus thing was going to be a separate book, like an Image Quarterly.
But it's tied to your previews orders.
You can only order as many as you order previews.
Or they send us as many, but we can order more.
Order extra, I think. Kind of like Marvel, we can order extra Marvel if we needed to.
Right.
That never comes up here.
But... No, because I do 80, so it's not, you know...
It's a decent store.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell them that.
Don't tell who that.
DC. Their heads will swell.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it was funny. We got the preview thing today, or last night, where we had been getting it Wednesday, the DC emailer, with all the previews, and I got that, and I responded back to Adam Phillips. I'm like, thank you, you listen. So, and that's something that's cool. I do the email every Tuesday night, and for the longest time, we'd get an email about 4 o'clock from DC, and in it would have all the links to all their previews, and that's what I'd use to do the email, to attach in it. And then all of a sudden, when they moved to California, it was coming Wednesday afternoon, not helping me a whole lot for a Tuesday evening email. So I've been talking to Stuart about that and didn't get anywhere. So when we were there, I just going into the elevator, I was talking to Adam Phillips, who's the, I'm not sure, head of publicity, I guess, at DC. And I asked if we could get those. And he's like, actually, I want to get them out Monday. But yes, so it was just nice. You know, just something that happened from the meeting, you know, there was a response, and, you know, and it didn't take long.
Yeah. It pays to have an elevator pitch ready.
It does, yes. Yes.
When you're going to the nth floor, you need to be ready.
Yes. I kept wanting to text you that. The elevator said the name of each floor, but it didn't say the T in 10th. So every time we got off the nth floor. Yeah. When it's 2 a.m. and you've had too much to drink, that's really funny thing to hear.
And all of our meetings were on PLA.
PLA, yeah. There was lobby and then PL. We don't know what it was, but the elevator would say PLA.
Proto lobby.
It's the little things. It really is. Because at some points during these, you're glazing over because it's just information overload. But it's good. It is good. But the roundtables is like there's no way to take notes at them or anything because you're having to get up and carry your stuff every 8 minutes, and it's not.
And they're handing you more stuff.
Yeah, that you're hoping to shovel in the bag as you move on to the next one. You know, not complaining about them handing you stuff, but it's just it's a little overwhelming.
Things like insects.
Yes, exactly. Then you go okay.
Can I get an extra copy?
Yeah, please. It's for a friend. I haven't read the second issue of that yet.
I did leave a copy of Winona Earp on the plane.
Okay, you said you did not care for that. I opened it up.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah, the art with the inking was a little Sharpie-ish.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. And it was wordy.
Okay.
Very wordy. I couldn't get through it. Though, when the show comes on the air in April, I'll like it.
Yeah, I mean, the trailer, what they showed us looked interesting.
Yeah. There were a lot of things. Harrow County is in development for sci-fi.
Okay. Those guys were great. They showed a video of Tyler Crook doing, like, a cover, or maybe just a page of Harrow County that's all painted, and it was, you know, it was like a sped-up thing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Oh, wow. The amount of effort he puts into each one of those. He was at the table, too.
What else was in development? There was
What isn't in development?
One of the Neil Gaiman books for Dark Horse is becoming a movie. How to Talk to
Okay,
Girls
yeah, we're just Bodies. Ordering that one right now, yeah. Guess I should finish that order soon.
Nicole Kidman.
Are you done with your order yet?
No, I haven't even started.
I made it through Marvel.
That's pretty good. It's at the halfway mark.
Yeah, it's that back half that takes the more time, though.
That takes longer because there's, you know, 300...
Thinking pumps. Involved. Oh, sold 12, order 13. Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
You can worry about ordering home.
Okay, yeah.
And all the others.
Yes.
One-word titles that are interconnected that don't connect.
The frustrating thing to me talking to him, that was the Double Take guys, and they do all those books that are based on Night of the Living Dead, but there's nothing on the cover to indicate that.
Yes.
The covers are home, medic, remote... Just, and I'm like, you got to get something on the cover to indicate that these are even tied together. Yeah, we're working on it. I'm like, I told you this exact same thing in September.
Working on what?
You know.
Add Night of the Living Dead.
I don't think he was happy when I said, oh, look, it's a hundy. Because they were real proud. They were real proud of that word for their little bundles. You could order 10 sets of 10, and they called it a hundy. And I said it maybe a little too mockingly when I said it.
You might have.
And the look I got from him was, I'll kill you. I'm like,
I was kidding. Definitely got a look.
Yeah.
I laughed.
Okay. Maybe that didn't help.
That probably did not. It was probably not good to keep us together.
I don't know whose plan that was. Then poor Kurt. Yeah.
Yeah, our third.
Where he was just coming along going, I don't know what I'm doing here.
We would tell Kirk, don't order this.
Yeah.
Go talk to those people. What they're telling you, it doesn't work.
And my absolute favorite part of it, though, was when we'd go up to the table and didn't realize who was next. And we get to the table and some of those people you just don't want to talk to. And
yeah, we give the glare.
We just each go, oh, God.
Yeah. So.
Who didn't you want to talk to?
Paper Cuts. Who I enjoy their books very much. It's the Geronimo Stilton and the Smurfs and all that. But the guy is just...
He's kind of a combination of a little bit of a Crispin Glover and... I don't know.
Yeah. Nice guy, but just there's this vibe there that's just... Especially because he's like, we have these great kids' books and Smurfs and Benny Breakiron is great. And then we also have our Eurotica line.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like...
Oh,
tell me more.
I'll tell you.
It's just.
You can get them in our panel van.
Exactly. We'll drive our white panel van up to your store. So it's just
candy out the window.
It's just one of those
popsicles.
Yeah, I know your stuff. Please don't make me sit and talk to me for 9 minutes because I'm going to get a little skeeved out.
I feel that way about the first, second representative.
Yeah, I know you don't. I like Gina.
But it's kind of like watching NPR.
She is the poster job for NPR. With her, everybody has, you know, coffee cups. She's got her, every time it's the tea bag, you know, hanging out. And it's just, but
soft-spoken.
And she's got to be like 6'4", and wearing Converse. You know, it's just very funny.
She'll say, "We're very excited about this next book." I'm like, "Oh, I can tell."
Whoa, calm down there.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. And then you get to the Xenoscope table, which is always just...
which is two just like hoochies. Xenoscope. It's a party.
And
it's like pole dancing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hoochie mamas. You know, just...
Oh, I know exactly
They're...
You bleeped out his word?
Yeah.
That wasn't as bad as his word.
I think we're right. Yeah,
but it's just because there was this one girl who was there, and I'm like, who is she with? Just she was a little
disassociate herself from this podcast episode.
But yeah, you're just like, oh, she's from Xenoscope. Okay, that makes sense.
All is explained now.
Yeah.
Well, they know what sells their comics.
They do. They do. But it's like, guys, you need this at the con, not here. But
probably the most awkward thing, which is usually awkward every year, is the Image presentation that Eric Stevens
did. Yeah, yeah. And it was funny because somebody sent me, like, shared a link on the Facebook page, like, you should be, where have I heard this before? And so I decided to actually read it. It reads great. It makes sense. Everything is good. Just a live presentation when the people that he's slamming are sitting with you is very awkward.
That's the
Image.
Yeah, he was slamming IDW.
Yeah, well, he was slamming Marvel and DC this time, and retailers, which I found interesting.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah,
what's the reaction from the people that he's slamming?
2 years ago, when they were doing it, somebody said Dan Didio was getting visibly red the more he went.
I was pretty sure a chair was going to go across.
Yeah,
the room.
It was.
See, I mean, I would have egged that on the whole time. Like, who's going to sit there like?
Yeah, no. I think I was sitting with Stuart at that one.
I can picture Didio, like, raging out on someone.
Yeah. But it's just one of those, why can't you talk about how great you are without slamming everybody else?
Because that's not how politics works in this
country. That's not how douches are, Colin.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, and he's passionate and everything, but just, it's like...
Well, the thing is that everybody's up there presenting what they've got coming up for the year. And Image didn't ever present anything they've got coming up. We don't really know what they've got coming.
And even weirder, while he was giving that, that's when they posted their press release online about that Image booklet thing. It's like, so yeah, you didn't even bother talking to us about that, and instead... So
it came across a little bit hypocritical, because it's like, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, yet we're going to release an Image Plus comic with original 4-page content of Walking Dead that everybody's going to want, essentially making it 50 cents per page of Walking Dead.
And last month, didn't Walking Dead 150 sell great for you guys with all 5 covers? You know, when he's sitting there slamming variant covers.
Yes.
You can slam variant covers, but he also included DC in that. And DC, for the most part, it's open to order covers.
Yeah.
So it's a second cover, yes, but, you know, it's not like Marvel and their exceed 200%. To get covers.
It's just, it's weird when he does it. And then I remember when he did it a couple of years ago, and then I came to the round tables, and I was sitting at the round table, and I was like, what do you say?
Yeah. Great speech.
Yeah.
But
especially
then,
after he just received the industry appreciation
award. Yeah, that was 2 years ago, yeah.
Really awkward. Yeah.
Well, at least, thank you. We should thank David Gabriel for not being there to make things awkward. So,
yeah, that would have been awkward.
Yeah. Thanks, David, for not showing up to get your award. I loved in the press release they did from it. It says, well, I've been nominated many times. It's like, how about you've gone many times, you know?
Maybe once. I don't recall. I think last year he might have been nominated.
Was he? Okay. Well, at least now we can move on past this.
Yes, we move on to the next steps.
Yes. Come on, Dinesh.
Yeah, I'm pushing for them. And I'm also pushing for Carl Barks for the Memorial Award again.
Okay. Who got it this year? Gaines?
Gaines.
Okay. That one's fair.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
Wonder what Stan could be the first to receive both.
Nice.
Too soon?
Too soon, yeah.
Too soon. Okay.
Too soon.
Well, I've got to check out.
Okay. But thanks for calling in. The iPad's almost dead.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Okay. Well, anytime you want to call in, just let me know. Now you know the secret.
I'll call tomorrow.
Double C. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
See ya.
Have a good night.
So that's Todd. That's who I roomed with. Just I had a room and he was looking to save some money and split in a room and we hung out before. Fun guy. I have more hair than he does.
See, I was
by choice or by nature?
Well, by nature, but he
by cuts nature,
it.
But by choice.
He keeps it short. Shoot, what was I going to talk about? There was a couple things that we came up that I didn't want to elaborate on. Shoot.
We're not getting volume 2 of Prez, are we?
Yeah, we are. They tweeted that. You didn't see that tweet?
No.
Yeah. It was funny because I was sitting at after the DC presentation, DC sponsored dinner, and I was sitting, Tim, my buddy from Denton, Texas, and Hank Canales came over and talked to us, and he's one of the uppity ups at DC. And we were talking about that. He's like, you know, just the sales weren't there. I'm like, well, I don't know what more we could have done. And, you know, talking about how they mismarketed it. And he's like, I agree. And it should have been a Vertigo book. And it sure would have had lesser expectations and stuff. And then I think it was the next morning, the writer announced there was going to be a Prez Volume 2. And I retweeted that to Hank Canales. And I went, And he responded back, So, you know, just he must
even
have known.
He
didn't know or he did know and just wasn't in his position to say.
Yeah.
So, but no, we are going to get a Volume 2 of Prez, so that made me very happy.
I'm surprised.
Yes.
I'm surprised to see a Blue Beetle book.
Yeah.
Both Blue Beetles.
Yes. Yeah, okay. But it's going to be a Blue Beetle book, but still no Shazam book.
Yet. They're not, this isn't the full thing. If you notice, they're rolling out over the course
which
of a couple
is what
months.
They need to do that.
Yeah.
That's smart.
They are rolling it up. Well, it's also to let other, Justice League needs to finish up.
Yeah.
So they're not going to rush Justice League to start a new arc in June if it's not done. So they are letting some books finish naturally. Batman's done, so it's just the last two issues.
I hurt them before by putting out 52 new books all in the same month.
Yeah.
It's
they're rolling that out a little. Yeah, I don't think
let them build their audience
is
going to
be as harsh as you're thinking. I don't.
I mean, I just there are books that I get right now that I will not get anymore because I'm not going to buy that many books twice a month.
Okay.
Just not, I won't do it.
Not going
to
happen.
I just like the dropping to $3. Because I just look at $6 versus $4.
I think that's good, though, that they're dropping all their books to $2.99. Because there were some books that were $3.99.
But now Marvel's at $3.99 with some $4.99s creeping in.
I get that, but that's...
I know, but...
I'm sure you've noticed how many Marvel books...
But I'm just saying, here's their problem, though. Last month, Marvel had 44% market share, DC had 22%. We're trying to do all these things, nothing's working, people are still buying Marvel. No matter what they price their books, they had a $10 Deadpool, still bought it.
Yeah.
So that's what DC, you know, they're not looking at you, they're looking at the market, and they're going, you know... No matter what happens, like you said, they could shoot somebody and be fine. That's kind of what they're like, you know, because I'm sure their bosses are saying, hey, what's going on? And that was one reason when someone asked about the number ones, why are you doing more number ones? He said, because it works. You don't tell me relaunching with new number ones doesn't work. Look at what Marvel's done for the past 4 months. You know, they're selling, every book is selling over 100,000 copies. Now, the number twos aren't. But you can't argue that there is not an uptick on number ones. So, and, you know, they're right. You know, you can't say, oh, I want to do it right. Well, when the other guy isn't playing by the rules but is being very, very successful, being rewarded, it's hard to sit there and say, well, I'm not going to do that because we're going to do 53. We're just going to have a new focus and things. No, when you can just slap another number one on it and
run that out.
Get a bump. Right. But at least they're not going to be doing 1-in-100 variants, and stuff like that. It's just going to be... They are still, I think, going to be doing theme months. But this one's going to be... There's still going to be the theme variant. Basically, artist-based variants.
Okay.
But then there's going to be a 1-in-200 variant for one title that basically is going to... The cover's going to be a montage of all the covers. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work. But that was one thing they said to us. So... but yeah, the DC went much better. I mean, we were ready, we were wondering where the pitchforks and torches were as we went into the room.
Brought your Valiant battle axe.
I would not try to carry that on the plane.
Check it.
No, I don't know if I'll ever check a bag again.
Your bag get lost?
No, but they mangled half my stuff. They decided to repack it.
Yeah,
they decided to repack it.
When they
go, yeah, because I packed very nicely.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to pack your bong. Shift that.
Oh. Now you don't. Yeah,
there's my pop that I packaged very carefully.
That's very carefully?
It was fine when I handed it over to them.
Oh, you're going to have a hard time with that.
Yeah. That's how my posters and a lot of my books look.
That sucks.
Yeah.
From them repacking my bag, which I thought was nice. But yeah, overall the meeting was good. Yeah, there's some people at the round tables who are just like...
You just don't want to
talk. The one that we were talking about, Bonfire, was kind of neat. Because I sat down and it's like, I signed up with them at my first meeting. And the idea behind Bonfire, it was a former guy, an advertising guy and a former guy at DC. And kind of going, why are stores giving away their... poster space? We should be getting compensated. They get compensated up at Giant Eagle. Every shelf, there's a reason Lay's are right there, and there's a reason Pepsi's right here. And they said, you guys should be getting paid for your stuff. So, like, anytime you've seen, it's twice with the Nerds TV show. So I've had the posters here. Yeah. Well, I got paid $50 for giving those posters out.
Okay.
It's not big, but it's something.
But it's still...
So what they're talking about doing is a TV network, where it'll be creator interviews, stuff, and it's all themed.
Like GameStop does.
Yeah. And then with targeted ads in them. Mm-hmm. And would we be in? And so that's why we said at first, we're like, you don't need to pitch us, Steve. We signed up from the beginning, whatever, talk to the new guys. And then you start talking about that. It's like, tell me more. So that's something that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we can customize it. So it definitely got me thinking about trying to do more with my board, even if that doesn't take off. Something like, because I know, there was that Valiant video. DC has a ton of video stuff, mm-hmm. and I need to try to figure out how to make a video. But I don't want it to be labor, and I want to be able to drag and drop type of thing.
You could still do, a PowerPoint and just have a slide that has a video on it.
I tried that. I could not. I could not get it.
Figure out on that how to
make it play. Video. It would go to the screen for the video, but then the video wouldn't start playing. I couldn't figure out how to do
it. And he's doing it from that Google...
Yeah, it's Google Docs. Chrome, or the Chromecast. So I couldn't figure... So if anybody out there knows how to do this, please let me know. But it's not something I want to be intensive. I don't want to spend an hour a week
doing
it.
There is a way to do it, because I've done...
I'm going to start charging technology fees.
You could. Monthly... You could. Or you could just get my great, undevoted, unwavering appreciation.
Fees sounds better.
Yeah.
Undevoted appreciation.
Uh-huh.
Or you know where I was going. Whatever. You know what I was doing.
I'll get the comfort knowing that the cover that I want is always available to me.
Him like you.
No, just I'll share. Todd just said thanks, and then he said boobs. Because that came a running joke. When we got to the diamond booth, they had the... I'm going to ruin this
Does this toy. Tie back in with the mamas you talked about earlier?
No. To get back to that, there was this girl, and she had really badly done bangs and these huge glasses, ridiculously large. And
you're just looking... You over here.
No, but you're just looking at her going, who is she with? She had a red badge, so you could tell retailers had a blue line on
the badge.
She had
to be with you.
And she had a red... And you're just sitting there the whole time going... Who is she with? I don't know this person. And then when we sat down at the Zenoscope table, it was like, oh, okay. She was nice and all, but it was just one of those, oh, okay. Because normally it's the one sales lady and then normally a booth babe type person. It's like, you're not selling us anything. So, but the new
But he's not calling the CEO demanding, get rid of the booth babes.
I don't call any CEOs. But the new Vinnie Mate, which is the larger Mini Mate figure of Dana Scully, she has her arms crossed with her hands in front of her face, and because it's a Mini Mate, they're just big round hands. So these two flesh colored half moons right in her chest. And
it looks like Power Girl dressing up as
exactly.
Scully.
Yes.
And so we sat down at the diamond table, and they had one there, and I turned it around to all of them. I said, do any of you have a problem with this figure?
You
like,
something.
No, but I'm just like, because I saw it, I just laughed because it was there, because there were three ladies from Diamond and a couple other people. I'm like, do any of you have a problem with this figure? And they looked at me, and were like, why? And I just looked them in the eye and said, boobs. And they went, oh my. And they're like, well, that was approved by her and everything. I'm like, I don't care. And all of a sudden they all saw it. So then as Todd and I are going, no, you can't unsee it now. So as we go to each table, and if they would have books for us to flip through, Todd would be flipping through one, and all of a sudden he'd look at me and go, boobs. So it just kind of became a theme of the entire rest of the week.
I'm actually happy that when I was pricing that I found this.
Everybody, yeah.
That you were able to bring it up to somebody there, and they saw it too.
So it was just funny. So he just responded
Did
back.
Did you get to see it?
Thanks.
I saw it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, man. So it was just funny. As I was walking to the after party, I walked past the statue and took a picture.
A month ago, we had the figure that was presenting herself. Now we have
yes.
Catwoman.
But so it's a little bit of a theme. And then as I was doing the books yesterday, it was the Vamp played, and there was the one risque cover, and so I took a picture of it and sent it to him. Saying, boobs. So we just get along well. Get along with most of the people there. There's very few people there that I don't like.
He'll never
be able to censor you again. Yep. That's a really bad word.
It is.
No, it isn't.
It is.
I will give you a list.
It is.
Of,
I think
George Carlin gave you a list of
understand.
Really bad words, and that was not on the list.
True.
I understand. It's just a bad word. I forget what else.
It's not a bad word in the traditional sense.
Correct.
But it is a word that in the current culture will cause him a lot of problems if you say on the podcast.
You don't
well,
care because you watch
I care.
Saying hoochie mama.
Yes. That also was
perfectly
a poor choice.
Fine, yes. Because he's, well, he doesn't want to not have that audience coming into his
story. And when you are one, you can say it.
Okay. Can I get the title of the podcast? No, well, he just said it though. That whole phrase.
The whole thing?
I write it down, I don't know what he said.
Well, whenever you go back through your
Okay. I'll look at whatever an hour in.
Three times.
52 minutes in. Shoot, there were a couple other things I said I'd explain later and I didn't. Overall, the conference was very good. Dark Horse got up and talked to us first, and it was very reassuring, just all the plans they have, all the stuff they're doing. This was one thing I said to them at the roundtable, was there was a lot of concern when they lost Star Wars. How is Dark Horse going to survive?
They're a bit slacking anyways with anything.
Well, yeah, but it's just nice that they're doing a lot. Like, there's a lot they're doing. It's the
Aliens.
Aliens is coming and Predators, because this year is Aliens 30th anniversary. Next year is Predators 30th anniversary. There's a new Buffy book coming.
What about Rebels? Are they going to do
it? They didn't say anything about Rebels. Gail Simone has a new book coming. More Conan coming. Just lots of, I don't want to say lots of stuff, but it looks like it's not a sinking ship or anything. They know what they're doing. So it was very reassuring. They were very, confident of what they had planning. It doesn't look like they're going under.
But a lot of their stuff, though, is licensed.
A lot is.
So,
lot
I mean, do they have...
But, I mean, that, when you think about it, that's how they started.
Yeah, but, I mean, do they have non-licensed stuff coming out?
And nothing that I remember. Other than, like, Harrow County is continuing this Gale... Like I said, again, this Gale Simone book.
They did? They gave me
a shirt. They gave me a snapback hat that I gave to Declan because, flat brim.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't pull that one off.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then the second half of the first day was DC. And it was just nice that, my notes say they're doing a Rebirth 1 is going to be the first issue. So if it's double shipping, you're going to get a Batman Rebirth 1 and then Batman
the first one, yeah.
And it's basically the whole point of the rebirth issues is to bring the getting back to the essence of the character. If you saw the video, that was Jeff Johns. It was nice because it was a little more personalized for us. They edited that stuff out, like, you know, sorry, I can't be there. Stuff like that. Schmoozing us, you know. But it was just nice hearing them say that he's been dealing with so many TV showrunners trying to explain the characters to them. You know, who is, you know, Supergirl? And what's the essence of Supergirl and stuff like that. So and he talked about how when he did Green Lantern Rebirth.
See, I have a problem with that altogether, though. Because if I come to you and say, hey, I want to take your property and I want to make a TV show about it, I should know who that character
is. Right, no, but it was more.
Not the other way
around. No, but it's saying. But it was more just trying to get to the core to make sure they understood the core of the character.
But with the case with these DC shows, you have. Is it Guggenheim and who's the other guy?
Kreisberg,
who came out with Arrow and it was a huge success. Then they said, "Hey, you guys are going to do this Flash show.
Right.
Hey, you guys are going to do the Supergirl show." So they're successful in putting together these shows. They may not know, you know, the core of who these characters are, but they know how to structure the show and sell the show.
But what he was saying was like, and when he did Green Lantern,
a project manager can step in. If they're not going to be a project manager, they have to know the ins and outs of the actual.
No, you're right.
But like when he came into Green Lantern in doing Rebirth, he said, "What's the core of Green Lantern? What do we need to get back? Because something's missing, something's not right." So that's what he's trying to do. He's saying, "Okay, Batman, what's wrong with Batman right now? Why isn't it working? What's wrong with not necessarily Batman, but let's say Teen Titans. When you know what's the essence of Teen Titans? So now we're getting a Titans book, which is going to give you your classic Titans." The ones that people want. So I liked at least somebody sitting there going, because they admitted they went too far away. You know, Black Canary is a rock and roll singer. No, that's not Black Canary. Yeah. Let's get back to what made Black Canary a great character. Yeah. Right. So I'm happy that they're embracing that. You know, because I wish what happened at Marvel stuff. You know, what makes Peter Parker great?
Yeah.
Being a billionaire businessman, not Peter Parker. So, you know, they're getting away, and
that's
I'm glad.
Tony Stark, not Peter Parker.
Right.
And he's that character,
So I'm glad they're getting back to that stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like some of those cases that whenever the New 52 launched, some of those characters were who you traditionally think of as when you think of that character, like Black Canary.
Yeah, they kind of
right.
But it wasn't successful then either.
Well, yeah, but that Birds of Prey book started off weird and never really found its feet. So I think they're just going much more back.
There's
to their
always
course.
A pre-Flashpoint Birds of Prey book. I thought was really good.
It was yes, really yeah. And the New 52 one didn't work.
And you were saying it's going to be like a merge of Batgirl and. The Birds of Prey, or something?
Yeah.
They're, one of the titles
like
is Batgirl and the Birds of Prey,
but
we don't. I don't know.
I bet
they're not going to release any.
But she still has her own book though, too. I think Batgirl.
Yeah, there's a Batgirl book and
a
Batgirl
and
the Birds of Prey.
So and then there's also a thought. Well, that would be confusing if they had two Batgirls. But
well, if they had like the Barbara Gordon Batgirl of
Burnside,
and then had like. Stephanie Brown.
Or make Stephanie
Cassandra
Brown
King.
The Batgirl Burnside, which would make a whole
that
lot,
would make
more,
a lot
sense.
More sense. Yeah.
But then I also hope maybe we're going to get a Wally book out of this. Because why have they been fighting a Wally book all this time? Just let it happen. It's what people want.
But what Wally is it going to be? Is it going to be the Wally we know, or is it going to be the new Wally?
I'd say it's going to be the Wally that we know. Because why? New Wally didn't work.
No.
Why stick with it? You know, and I think that's kind of what they're saying.
You can say New Wally didn't work, but they never made...
Well, they never did it.
They never did much.
True.
With it.
Yeah. No, true. Very true.
They made him an annoying teenager.
Yeah. So, let's see. There's going to be a Rebirth one-shot, overall Rebirth one-shot, that's going to be like the
that's
countdown
an 80
one. 80-page, 299 book, written by Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns, yeah.
Yeah. Renumbering books, less titles overall, characters back in books, you know, so we're going to get Batman and Batman. Hey! It's to get their best-selling titles on the stands more often. What I like, first six issues returnable, no double, all the double shipping books, and there's no catches for us. So there's no order X amount and you qualify. It's flat out. Starts in June. It's not a hard stop, so the books that aren't done yet are going to keep going. Action and Detective are returning to their original numbering. There is going to be a major media campaign, retail promotions. A guy can do advertising. They're doing 100% reimbursement. So if I want to do a newspaper ad. Or anything, there's 100% reimbursement from DC on that.
Speaking of advertising, did anyone ask why they don't do any sort of advertising during their shows?
No. You know what? No. I didn't. Nobody asked that.
You have failed this city.
Did they, the thing before that that you brought up, before we talked about advertising, what was it?
Media campaign? Retail promotions? Action Detective?
Action Detective. Yeah. Why?
Because they're going to hit their thousand.
Well, because
their stones throw 1,000.
They didn't want to do those, but they didn't feel that they could do New 52 and do it justice and say this is a relaunch without doing it. They did that to show that they were serious by bringing Detective and Action back to their give them to new number ones. But now they're going, you know what? That is such a. They're trying to get back to the core of DC. And those two particular books are such a core of the history of DC. Let's bring them back.
But then what should happen then is next year or the year after, they have to do the same thing with Batman and Superman, especially with them double shipping.
They may. They may. But those two are big because they're in the 900s.
Yeah, like one's 930 and one's like 940.
Yeah, but they're gonna bring those back. And I have zero problem with that. Especially because they're bringing them back then, not at...
At a random point.
No, no.
Marvel always does it when it hits 500. Yeah. Then suddenly everything changes. So they're doing it, you know, here's where we are.
I think it's supposed to signify, too, that they're bringing, who knows how this is going to work out, but some past continuity back.
Yeah, bring back legacy
back into the...
Because that's the other thing they said, was that it's not just New 52 continuity. It's everything that made these characters these characters.
So I got to wonder, I would assume that means there's going to be more of an emphasis on the Superman-Lois Lane relationship.
Hopefully.
That they've kind of gotten away from.
I'm hoping. Yeah. I doubt we'll get the Trunks on the outside again, but only because Jim Lee's still involved and he's the one that put him in. So he'll still be blue.
Good.
But
the Trunks are dumb.
How do you dress yourself in the morning?
Underwear, pants.
Just like I know he's from Krypton.
Like I get a lot of the arguments that people have had with New 52. The Trunks one. The Trunks one.
Yeah, of everything.
Give me a break.
This was a joke forever.
If you're a Trunker, please write into the podcast and tell us why.
If you're one of those guys that wears your underwear over your pants, that's where
if you're Quill Man.
Wear a belt on your head.
So then,
no, but seriously, write in because I would like to know why that is such an important thing to you. Because to me, losing the Trunks, still in red and blue, but losing the Trunks just seems like they're modernizing the uniform.
I'm old and I fear change. That's my reason.
Old people wear Trunks outside just to have extra protection.
Then on Rebirth Day, there's also going to be a midnight release party.
So you're having your midnight party.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So are you going to do some baller advertising whenever you...
We'll see if I can think up something that I think will work.
Well, if they're doing 100% reimbursement...
Right, well, you still have to pay for it up front.
So what?
And get approval, and then they respond to you back. So... We'll get there. There's a new Jill Thompson Wonder Woman book, original graphic novel, True American. That was one thing they did.
That sounds kind
of
different.
She's not True American.
That's true.
So yeah, and I even do this here. They're so just saying. So actually, yeah, that's about all I have note-wise. Like I said, I didn't make it to the Boom RV. Made it to the Valiant Suite. Never to leave. Trying to think about other people that really stood out. I really like the Aftershock guys. It's Mike Martz, who used to be head of Batman, and then he went to DC and was head of the X Group, and then he left to create his own company. And they're doing a lot of books with big names. That's the one with the Azzarello, the Justin Jordan book.
Are they doing a shared universe type deal? Or?
You know, I don't know if they are. I don't know. I've read two of the books, and they're definitely not.
Okay.
But that was interesting. They were really... up front. Nice thing that the First Comics Devil Do did is they have also set up a retailer, I don't know what you call it, but I can order direct from them instead of Diamond and get a little better terms and free shipping. So if I need stuff where Diamond might not have it, they might have them in stock. Like right now, Badger's back ordered, but they might have it available from them. No, I just... not being critical of Dave. Yeah, there wasn't much, like, this. There weren't a whole lot in the speeches. Boom just had Paul Levitz come up and talk. IDW just kind of was really just talking about some of their upcoming stuff.
Well, the other thing was, at least from our side, not being there, when Rebirth was announced, it overshadowed everything else. Like, all the sites, that's what they had. It was Rebirth.
Right.
Rebirth,
and sadly, Rebirth. I mean, not sadly, but they released that the same time they started talking so that we couldn't send it to Bleeding Cool type of thing.
Yeah.
They've gotten very smart in that regard. So, yeah, you knew it at the same time I did, but I, of course, wasn't watching the social media because we were sitting there.
Living.
Yes, but I'm excited about Rebirth. Yeah, well, they needed to do something. They needed to do something big, and I think they accomplished that. Just bringing a new writer on or a new artist or a new direction, I don't think was really going to do it. They needed to do something big, and I think they have. I think they're going about it right with the
Gotham
return of
Academy.
Batman.
That's the other one.
Yeah, that one's still
they're,
going.
They're bringing that one back.
That one's coming back. That one's not doing bad.
What's up with
Cyborg? I was shocked at
all the Superman spinoff books. Superman.
They weren't saying a word. Yeah, the Superman
women,
and the Super Sons.
Yeah,
I have a feeling the Super Sons is going to be more. That might be like a Damian and what's the Kryptonian kid?
The one from Lois and Clark.
Yeah, I guess they could play with that one. I was thinking more the one that they got from the Phantom Zone from a while back ago. It was like Zod's kid. Yeah, I was thinking more along that line, but it does make sense to use the one from Lois and Clark. So it might be more like a team-up between those two.
Junior Trinity.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so...
you need a third one.
Yeah, well, it couldn't be a Super Sons, so it couldn't be girl. But yeah, so we don't know, but that's my inkling. It's going to be something like that. Trying to think, yeah, not a whole lot else. The roundtables were fine. You know, talk to the people from Fantagraphics, talk from the people from Oni. It's just nice when they recognize you. It's really, and you can tell when someone's saying hi and they recognize you, as opposed to just hi,
hey,
how are you?
Doing?
You know, there's a, and that is fun from doing these things. And now.
Your old hat at this.
Yeah, but it feels good, and you know they might listen to you a little more.
Probably not.
No, I think they do. They do. You know, if I tell them try something, or did you think of this? Like I mentioned about the posters, like this one. Well, two of them we mentioned getting, you know, 11x17 posters, which I have a lot more room for.
Yeah.
And two of them were like, "Oh, I never thought of that." And it's like, yeah, I don't need a big full 24x36. I'm like, I don't have room for that. I have merchandise everywhere, but a smaller poster.
How do they say it? Are they just like, you know? Oh, I didn't think of that.
No,
or
no,
they just
no.
Like,
it wasn't sarcastic.
Look at posters.
But no. They
Captain
seem
obvious.
No, I don't think it was. No, but I mean, like I said, and when we sat down with the creators, and they're like, "What can we do?" And when I told them what I thought, and you could see them, like a little light went off. They're like, yeah, we can do that. And I asked him, I said, social media. I said, when you have a book coming out, sometime before it comes out in the week, tweet, hey, I have a book coming out.
Yeah.
Well,
you know my
sad
book, because I said,
you give them the obvious. Like,
well, I did, but then I said, well, no, but what I said is, no, but my reasoning was, I said, because I can share, I can retweet, I can favorite your tweet, and my guys will see that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do a post on every book that's coming
right
out. So by you doing that, and with a link to a preview or something, I can get that out there, and then my followers and my customers will say, oh, I was interested in that book, and they'll click that link, because I'm putting it in front of them. So I'm like, help me help you. And they kind of went, yeah, that makes, you know, yeah, I can do that. So
your stuff, what you're saying is, like, but it just seems so, like,
but it's for,
it,
it's
yeah,
to help
it is
them.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah,
right.
It
yeah,
is.
But,
it's so
but on their
to
side
do,
of the
but
desk, they might not be thinking of that.
Well, that's true. On the other side, you
but I think
right,
that
but
was
a guy that works for marketing should
no,
know
no,
how do I market.
No. I'm talking the writer of the
oh,
book
yeah, okay,
isn't
yeah
thinking about how
yeah
can I market.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
That's what I'm
yeah
saying.
No, that I'd agree with, yeah.
Telling a writer that would be a good idea. That way he does. And a lot of these people aren't working with a place that have, like, a big market.
Yeah.
So
it's... So
that does
that's
help
all. But it's more important... No, but it's far more important coming from them than from DC.
Yeah.
Or Image Comics. If it's coming from them, I think that... It has...
Touch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
used up all of your time.
I did.
Pat's news is going to be...
He used up all of our time.
Pat's news, you're going to have to do it like the Micro Machine guy.
But, Black Mask was there. Matt Pizzolo from Black Mask made it. He made it. And I... It was funny because I talked to him a little bit and then we had a break. And so, break, and then came back and I talked to him more.
Is it part of Archie, aren't they?
No, not at all. Not at all.
He did like that.
So it was just great talking to him and thanking him for his effort. And I think they were there a couple years ago when they didn't have a lot of books out, and the reaction was kind of, "Eh, I've heard of you, but your books aren't selling. You know, I'm sorry."
Yeah. Speaking of Black Mask,
yes.
Your dude does comics now.
Yeah.
Continually has them listed in the credits as Black Mask.
Oh, okay.
Not Black Mask.
Okay, fair enough. I just got an awesome care package today from Matt Rosenberg, or Matthew Rosenberg, I'm sorry. I don't know if he goes by Matt.
You should have told me.
No, I'll bring it over as soon as somebody else starts talking. But it's just one of those, and I did tweet it this morning, a picture of it, and just saying this is why I push books by people like this. But it was a package. It was a bunch of signed posters. It was a preview copy of the new book, pins, stickers, a sketch by the artist of one of the characters. You know, just awesome. You know, thank you. Just, you know, showing up out of the blue in the mail. Just greatly appreciate, like Valiant. You know, send me an axe. You know, hey, guess what? I'll push your stuff a little more. So, I don't know if I've hit everything from Comics Pro.
If you send me an axe, it's here.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on with the care. If it's not here tomorrow, I'll email and say hello. I'll say Josh is all over me, man.
I emailed him yesterday. Yeah. Or no, Monday.
He might not be home yet.
Tuesday.
He might not be back
yet. Well, there was another con somewhere, too.
Wasn't there? So he might not be back yet. So that's about, I mean, it's funny because it's not like there's a bunch of announcements. It's not like a convention. A lot of people thought I was going to a convention. I'm like, no, it's far more, you know, where we're talking about returnability or larger discount incentives.
It's the worst convention ever.
Yeah, stuff you guys don't care about, but stuff that, that makes, you know, is important to me. One thing they tried to get into a little more was more retailer and retailer interaction. I said, and not on. It sadly didn't work out quite the way they wanted it.
Colin Todd?
No.
Oh.
It didn't work out the way they wanted it to, because both times leaving...
He didn't even get to look at the book and he's making jokes. It makes Dave great.
Dave's allowed because of your interruption.
Fair enough. But it was going from the Dark Horse thing to lunch. You were supposed to sit at a table, whichever table you wanted to, and there were like 7 themed tables where they were going to be talking about different things. But the thing was, I was waiting in line so long to get this poster signed by Chuck Palahniuk that I just had to sit somewhere. So I didn't sit at any table that had anything going on.
Line waiting for him.
Why?
Because he's like your best friend.
Well, I just happened to be at the end of the line.
He was just like, why don't you email?
Is your poster folding?
Like,
there we go, yeah.
So I had mentioned to him that... Well, as you know, he sent a bunch of arms. He sent me signed books that I gave away.
With an axe.
I was emailing him, just like he emailed, saying, hey, you know, what can I do? And I responded back and mentioned that one of the guys told me to read one of his books. And he's like, oh, how are you liking it? And we're just talking back and forth. And I said, you know, thank you for being so approachable, so just fantastic. And I said, your customers who go to his signings just rave about him. It's like, once you're a fan, you're set for life. And he's like, well, why don't you email me anymore? I said, I mean, you were more than gracious. I don't want to bother you. And he's like, it's not a bother. So he signed my poster to Pittsburgh Comics. You never email me. So, you know, just little things. I mean, how cool is that?
What sort of emails does he want from you?
I don't know, but just asking for stuff.
Hey, Chuck, how's it going?
Yeah. No, but just, hey.
It's rainy here in Pittsburgh.
I need more arms. You know, just that kind of stuff. But I just thought, you know,
how's Tyler?
Here is a national best-selling author wanting, you know.
Dude puts his pants on just like you and me. Awesome.
Yes, but, okay. Yeah. Jim Lee didn't say, hey, why aren't you emailing me? You know, so it was.
You folded his poster in half.
I did not. That was Bob the TSA agent did that.
Look, if you get paid, you know, minimum wage,
I get it. It just, that was, I should have shipped it. UPS wouldn't have done that.
He's just looking at this pack in the Scooby-Doo poster. He's just like, who cares?
Next time, take a cardboard tube with you.
You know what? The sad thing is I had it, that I took those home. I just didn't think to put those posters in it because we got them at different times. Like, I didn't have, the poster was back up in the room. So I had those things, and I'm just like, oh, well, they'll slide right in the top of my suitcase. They fit perfect. I had no problem. I brought the exact same things, type things I brought home from San Diego. No problem.
Bob's not the only bad guy here.
So that was disappointing. But I know James emailed me and said he didn't have any question. He was just looking forward to hearing about Comics Pro. So if I didn't answer anything, or if I sadly referred to something when we were talking to Todd and I didn't elaborate on it after, I do apologize. Todd's just a lot of fun. Everybody there's good people. It was fun being with these two newbies, though. That was a lot of fun sitting at the tables. Because there were certain ones, like the Aftershock one, I just started talking to the guy. Same with Devils Do. Because I talked to them before. It was Josh Blaylock of Devils Do, the guy who's doing Mercy Sparks. He did at Devils Do. He had G.I. Joe for a while. I just, you know, went right in and started talking to him because I knew what I wanted to say to him. And I think the new guys were kind of, okay, I'll just sit here and listen. But then other times we're like, yeah, we know your spiel here, guys. Yeah. Not to be offensive to these people, but I know your product. I know what you're doing. Yeah. You know,
not your first rodeo.
Yeah, I don't need to hear your spiel again. So some are really good. Like, there was one, Microcosm, that I couldn't have told you any books they had, but, and I remember when I saw them on the list, I'm like, Microcosm. But that's good to get those newer people that you don't know in front of you, and you go, oh, this is really neat. But it turns out I have a ton of their books. Just didn't know them by name.
Did IDW talk about any of those books that they, like Rom Space Knight and stuff like that?
It's going to be a free comic book day book, and then coming out of that, nothing...
Micronauts.
The Micronauts is coming. That's in the current book, number one. Oh. Not going to quite hit their ordering incentives on those. Like a 1 in 100 or something. It's like, I'm excited about Micronauts. I'm not that excited about Micronauts.
They announced that way too early, and then they announced
both those in San Diego. I was at the panel that they announced those. That was cool. I wooed. To which Dirk looked over and.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I also wooed when they announced Angry Birds at one a while back because I had these two kids.
Movie or?
No, a comic. Because these two kids were coming in with their dad like every week. This was their reward for being good at school or something and asking about Angry Birds. So when they announced that, I was like, yes. Dante and Roman will have something to read.
Just give them insects. I'll be all right.
God. Yeah, Angry Birds just reminded them of you. Red shirt.
Stop. Yeah. Stop. Yeah, but no. but it was good. It was good. Tiring. It's there's a lot of we're very scheduled there. Which they have to. You know, they want everybody, especially the vendors are paying to be there, so you know, they want their time. But yeah, you know, like sitting down with the Action Lab guys, it was like, okay. Actually asked for an extra of a variant they were giving out. It was a Vamplate or Zombie Tramp or something. I'm like, can I have a second one? Because I have two guys that are every cover guy.
I need more Puppet Master number ones.
Did that ever go through? Like, did you fix that? Yeah. I haven't seen them.
Yeah.
So.
No, that got taken care of.
Cool.
Colin Bunn is writing Mike.
He is. Isn't that hilarious?
That's great.
Isn't that hilarious? Somebody else announced a new book. I forget who it was. And they said Colin Bunn was writing it. We just kind of looked at each other like,
well, he gave something up.
You've got to be kidding me.
He gave up Aquaman. So
Aquaman, Sinestro, Green Lantern.
He's just like, I got to stop.
Sinestro's done, so. Yeah.
Not necessarily.
It's done for now.
Was he writing Lobo, too?
I don't know. I wasn't reading Lobo.
Was he reading
Apparently Lobo? No one else was either.
You're a shopkeep. You're a master shopkeep.
Come on, shopkeepy.
The computer. You want to know the creative team on every book?
It's a recent book.
Yeah. You can go look. So, yeah, if there's anything more... But, I mean, other than that, it was a lot of fun. Really, the only night drinking was in the Valiant Suite. It was just nice that they went out to get alcohol and saw the crack and went, oh, Colin likes this. So I got that connection going. So how could I not partake?
That's a little sad, though, isn't it?
No.
Colin's an alcoholic.
No, I am not.
Alcoholics have meetings. He's a drunk. It's different.
Isn't that what we're in right now?
I drink like 3 times a year.
Three times a year?
Yeah.
Yes, he just drinks for several months at a time.
Are you talking about, like, heavy drinking three times a year?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have drinks more than 3 times a year.
Not generally, no.
Like, just a little sip here and there?
Yeah.
A little.
But not often. Not as often as you think.
Is Free Comic Book Day one of those days?
I feel like you talk about cracking a lot then.
I just like cracking.
Yeah, you're done at the end of Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, he just goes
he just crashes on the couch.
Yeah, he cries on the couch.
Like if I get out of the car, you know. I turn it off first.
he just parks in the car, lets it run, and you know what happens.
But no, I'm not as big a drinker as you would think. It's like cracking. It's the coolest bottle.
You're just so vocal about
it. I drink
it. Everybody likes you drink
more than you do. That could be. Now, like, you know, for a week at the beach, yeah, I'm drinking all week. And then, yeah, well, New Year's Eve. And then, so yeah. Okay, once a month, but not normally.
Okay, well, you just multiplied your number by 4.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
But it's not even once a month. That's what I mean.
And then you're like a week at the beach. Does that mean you're the whole week?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot more than
you were there with your in-laws and you drink the whole week at the beach? Yeah.
I wouldn't be there with my in-laws.
There you go. Okay.
That's the difference.
Right.
We're just trying to figure out your days, though. Don't hide anything.
Are we going
to
start counting?
Or you do sound like an alcoholic if you hide them.
It was also an intervention.
Yeah.
Colin, have a seat. We're worried about you.
Yeah, we're worried about you. About your organ meeting.
No, I know what caused the flare-up, and it pisses me off. What caused this flare-up? Edamame.
Really?
Yeah, I had a salad, and I'm having a gout attack.
Oh, my.
Talk about pissing me off. I could have had brisket.
Wasn't the dressing, maybe?
Could have been. It was a new salad. But
organ meat dressing?
I'd had it before. I got the Wendy's spicy chicken Asian salad, and it had edamame on it, and that was the only thing I'd eaten that day, and by the time I came to leave here, I could barely walk, and that was the only thing.
But why would you suspect of all the things edamame?
Because that was the only thing that on that salad other than salad and, you know, lettuce and spicy chicken, which I've had before.
What is edamame?
Process of elimination.
What is it?
It's just a bean.
Yeah. It's almost like a fancy, like, yeah, like a fancy pea or snap, like snap pea kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's in a, like, it looks kind of like a snap pea.
Looks like a little lime.
Only the skin is kind of, like, hardier. Like
oh, in those, thicker. Yeah. No, in a pod, it is.
Yeah, in the pod, it's kind of hardier.
Let me educate on
that. It's almost, like, slightly furry, too, the pod.
That I don't know. Yeah. Oh, the pod might be.
What else can you make with it?
But then you pop it out. It's just, it is like a little mini lime.
That was the only thing. Because, Adam, I mean, it was a chicken and fish sandwich from Burger King and then this new salad, so... Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. And then by last night, I'm like, ooh, something's not good here. I can barely sleep. So,
but it is a far cry from organ meat.
Yes.
I hide organ meat.
No. But that's what just made me mad. It's like, I know when I have something really good that I shouldn't have eaten. And then, oh, crap. So this time it's
just salad. It's like, those are my kidneys. Yeah.
Damn it. Okay, enough of my yakking. Pat. What else you got that I haven't covered yet?
You got like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say not a whole lot. The one thing, the Deadpool effect has already taken hold. It's been announced that the third Wolverine movie is going to be rated R.
Is that a definite, or just that it might be rated R?
No, it's a definite. And then, kind of the weirder thing, that according to the MPAA, the Ultimate Edition DVD of Batman vs. Superman is going to be rated R. Now, the movie hasn't even come out yet.
What is going to change in that movie in order to make it rated R? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, the only thing I can think of, we've already seen the Robin suit.
Yeah.
We may see what happened to Robin. And it may be a Jason Todd kind of moment in a, you know...
Huh.
That's really the only thing I can think of. Because I got to imagine either that or they're gonna put the blood back in into the movie.
I feel like they should have waited till the movie came out to announce that, though.
I agree.
That movie's gotten so much hate for being so like dark looking in the trailers. why add fuel to the fire and wait till the movie comes out. Hopefully
people
love the movie, and then say, and by the way,
the dark feel. It's not the Marvel universe. Like, they can take it in a different theme, a different feel.
But that's the thing.
Just drives me nuts.
They couldn't go the Marvel route. If you think they get hate now, if they would have went the Marvel route.
Like, that would be Batman and Robin. Like, that's what it would be. If you want something more comedic.
I hate the people that will complain on social media about how the DC Universe movies are so dark.
Yeah.
And then rave about Daredevil on Netflix.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones on Netflix. Like, that's freaking dark.
Jessica Jones is super dark.
That's
a lot darker than I'm sure this Batman movie is going to be.
Don't sit there and kiss the ass of those shows. And
it's because they want to.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Like, if you don't like the dark stuff, then fine. That's so
I'm
be
not
it.
Not comparing, by the way, Marvel movies to Batman and Robin.
No, you're right. Tonally, if you take them more in the jokey fashion, they did that before, and you got Batman. And Robin.
I'm just so tired of all this doom and gloom. This is going to suck. It's the worst thing ever. Before the movie even comes out, because I watch these trailers, and I don't. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't watch these trailers and think, oh, that looks awful.
No, I don't.
The only thing I've seen that looked awful was the CGI on Doomsday.
And I disagree with you, to be honest.
To me, it looked like the damn Ninja Turtles. And that bothered me.
Not so much the body, but the head did. When he originally showed up in the comics, though, he was kind of like, he was in that suit, that black jumpsuit kind of thing. And he didn't even have the spikes, so, I mean, he probably did kind of look like that underneath. I would have rather kind of seen it how we saw it in the comics, but I don't think it would translate. I mean, we still might, because we haven't seen...
Well, and that could have been, kind of say he jumps out and he could, like, develop the spikes over the...
I'm more concerned about, like, the character itself, what they're going to do, how they're going to introduce that character into that. And they have a lot of characters in this movie. Not just, like, a few. They have tons.
Yeah.
And the movie has also been introduced so early on that we've been waiting, but we just keep getting teaser trailers, all sorts of things. It's just like, I'm trying to stay away from it, so I'll enjoy the movie better and not see everything, so.
Along those lines, they announced that Justice League will start shooting in April, so I guess...
That goes against the rumors we're hearing, because they would not start filming that quickly after release. If they were worried that they'd have to change the whole direction of the universe.
Well, yeah, and I don't... I mean, obviously, it hasn't started shooting yet. Not much is known about the movie. Depending upon the storyline they're thinking of that movie, and from based on what we've seen to this point in the Dawn of Justice trailer, I can still see this working, because the way you can do it is... Okay, what happens in Dawn of Justice happens, you make the first part of the Justice League movie the Tower of Babel storyline. So, Batman is getting all these things to defeat the Justice League just in case. He gets kicked out at the end of the movie. So, if that, the movie just doesn't do well, you can still go off and do Batman, do whatever. Because from everything that I've heard and read about... People like Ben Affleck as Batman.
So I don't think they can do that storyline for the first part of the Justice League. I don't think they can make Batman be almost the villain character two movies in a row like that.
Well, I think they can, though.
People are already butthurt over the fact that he is
right
now.
The villain character in that movie, though? I keep right now, Superman feels more like the villain.
Yeah, character. I feel more like Superman is the villain in the movie.
I know. I feel like
the
trailers are showing, like, you sympathize for Batman whenever you see, like Bruce Wayne through the rubble and whatnot.
Yeah.
But anytime you have Bruce Wayne as Batman talking or talking about Superman, he definitely comes across as the villain.
But they
even had him use the Cheney line, the Dick Cheney line.
Oh yeah.
But see, here's the thing. So he knows about Superman. And at least at the beginning of the movie, it doesn't seem like he understands the kryptonite piece, all that. He figures that out at some point during the movie, you would assume.
But, you know, now Wonder Woman shows up. He didn't know about her. We know Aquaman's going to make an appearance. Cyborg's going to make an appearance. Flash is going to make an appearance. That, to me, would set Batman off to say, okay, I got to find a way to stop these before this gets out of hand. That becomes the premise of the first movie. You can put Darkseid in, you know, almost in a Thanos role or whatever at the end of that movie. That kind of brings them together, and then that sets up a second movie if that's where you go. If not, ignore it, move on.
I don't know. I think I'd almost rather see them face this big threat, you know, as this team first, and have him come to the realization of how powerful and how dangerous these people are, and then that kind of
like
you would say
League,
do it in reverse.
Justice League in 52.
If they're
going
to do that,
out.
I would say do it in reverse.
Yeah, but
because even like with you know right now where we come up with Civil War where we have Iron Man against Cap, they built up to this. Like we had you know them work together as a team and have their own like heroic movies first before suddenly pitting them against each other and making one kind of villain.
Yeah,
and since they're already doing with Batman v Superman, I personally don't want to see Justice League Part 1 be him just trying to find ways to take down the rest of Justice League.
It's an interesting story.
It would be a better later thing. It would be a good introduction to the characters.
Now, I would be fine with if they told a story that wasn't the premise, but there were like little hints or teases here and there where he's kind of, you know.
Developing
these
things. I think that's what made Tower of Babel itself interesting because he did have that time to study them and figure out, okay, one of these days they're going to go bad. You know, what do I do? And that, he doesn't really have that time to do that if we did it.
Yeah, we're also painting Batman to be way too powerful at that point, too. If that quickly he can.
The only reason why I say that, though, is that if Warner Brothers themselves are truly afraid that this may not do as well, we've already painted ourselves into a corner. We're putting this movie into production in order to hit the deadline we said we're going to hit. And then we know either we're going to kill the franchise altogether, but they won't kill Batman because they know that still makes the money no matter what. Yeah. That would be a way to do it and to kind of hedge their bet.
I get what you're saying, but I think if they go into the filming Justice League Part 1 with the mindset that we need to make this so that way we can scrap our plans and shift to Batman, I think they have a bigger problem than... if they don't have confidence at all going into it, then...
Well, it's not that they will have confidence going into it, but that's the problem. So the first movie comes out March 25th. This starts shooting April 11th. So, you know, you're going to get your first weekend numbers in before it starts shooting, not the follow-on numbers. Yeah. They still got Wonder Woman that's shooting, and that's going to come out, and that's... I don't think there's any way the Wonder Woman movie does as well as Batman vs. Superman.
Principal photography will be done on Justice League before Wonder Woman comes out.
Yeah.
That movie will be filmed.
Well, yeah. I mean, because principal photography for Wonder Woman should be over with before April 11th.
No, I'm saying for Justice League. Justice League will be done before Wonder Woman comes out in 2017.
Yes. I get that. I don't think it's that they're doomsaying already, but I think at some point they got to have a plan in place. Okay, if we have to kill this, where is the logical point to do it?
Yeah, I just think if they're concerned about that, then it's much cheaper for them to not shoot it April 11th and wait till they see how Batman v Superman truly does, and then start this movie with it, you know, a proper course.
And even here, I don't see a problem up to the first Justice League movie. It's after the first Justice League movie where you got the Cyborg movie, the Shazam movie, the Aquaman movie, the Flash movie, the Green Lantern movie. That's where I think you're going to have a problem. Because those are the lesser-known characters, and unless they just do them really well in the Justice League movie and they become popular, you know, Batman's going to sell. You can make, a Superman movie. I think a Wonder Woman movie will do well. I don't think it will do as well as Batman will, but it'll do okay.
I think that movie's going to do really well. Yeah. I think people want have been wanting that movie for a while.
Yeah.
So. The only thing that bothers me is I feel like Warner's is putting Zack Snyder in charge of too many of these movies. Yeah. We're having the same voice and same take on too many of these properties. And one thing
he's gonna have to give one something up.
Well, I mean, one thing I like with Marvel is that each of their properties had a unique voice, unique
vision. But what they had was one guy at the top, kind of Feige.
Yeah, and that's
kind of running the show, but each immensely director benefited got to them. Run their own deal.
That's what Warner needs to have is someone that oversees all of this. And I get that Geoff Johns has been very involved,
but Geoff Johns is also doing the TV shows.
The time. I know. I'm not saying he should be.
Yeah, I mean that's.
I think
somebody to do that.
They need a Geoff Johns type that can do that. Yeah.
And I'm really surprised that they haven't put someone just in charge of all that.
Because they have Geoff Johns. I mean, who would you not, if other than Geoff Johns, who would you have do it?
I don't know, but I didn't know who Kevin Feige was before that either, so. You know, I'm sure you can find someone who at least knows the characters, knows the continuity, knows how to, you know, keep everything on the rails.
Yeah.
In terms of the storytelling.
Okay, so moving on, speaking of Kevin Feige, or actually, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't him. It was Jeff Loeb, who said that they're not doing, or there's no plans now to do a Punisher series on Netflix, despite what was said before. Yeah, because it is split. It doesn't mean it won't happen, but they just said there's no plans to do it as of now.
Did you see the image of Elektra that they had released? I don't know when that was released, but
there was one released today, I think.
And she's not in, like, anything special, like, her costume. Somebody mentioned, like, once they give her a mask, and I was like, what mask? What are you talking about? That was one of the comments on there. I was like, people don't know anything about characters. But I'm pretty excited for this season, though. Of Daredevil.
Yeah, that's in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then breaking news, thanks Dave. Apparently they cast Luke Perry as Archie's dad in the Riverdale show.
Whoa.
So all right.
It's a whole new Riverdale.
Yep. Yeah, I
just so they don't hang out at the where they hang out at the Peach Pit. Instead of Pops.
I kind of wonder about that because it is a CW show. Pops.
That's the important thing.
We're going to get Brock Lesnar's moves.
I hope this show does well.
High school kid, yeah.
I hope this show does well. I have zero interest in this show, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Zero.
I want to see what they do with it.
I might have less than zero interest in the show.
I think the problem is because it's on C. It's going to be on CW, and it's going to become a CW show.
Yeah. I think
Star Wars.
I hope it generates interest. Is what I hope it does. I hope it generates interest, and I already have a series launched, but I hope it brings people back to those characters.
Are you with me?
I don't want to see a Dawson's Creek sexed up version of Archie. And that's it's on the CW. That's what it's going to be.
How would you do that?
I don't know. That's, it's going to be more like a Twin Peaks thing or something. With a little dark underbelly of Riverdale.
That would be interesting.
Not too much, but
we're like
something.
We're like Midge has been murdered, and they're trying to figure out. Everybody loved Midge.
Maybe. Who knows?
Anyway,
what a weird concept.
And then they're
just found wrapped in plastic.
Do you care about the Archie show, Colin?
No.
Are you wanting to see a
Archie crossover?
They do.
They still make Archies?
They're coming out in a couple months, man.
Prove it.
Yeah, you can.
They are in the previews.
Prove it.
They're in the previews.
We haven't had Sonic for like 4 months. I feel like the Afterlife book should come out a full calendar year. Like, not 11
and
months
it's
later.
It's called an annual.
Should come out a full calendar year after the last one, and then actually say 1 year later.
Yeah.
And pick up the story 1 year after.
That would make too much sense.
I feel like it would erase.
I don't know how that company survived. I really don't get it.
They are.
It's not Kickstarter.
That might be the problem.
Yeah, didn't they do a Kickstarter?
They had to take it down.
Yeah,
because so
that went over like press. Turn a punch bowl.
I think, frankly, if anybody picks up those characters, I think it needs to be IDW. I think IDW can do well with those characters. Who needs them? It's Dark Horse. Dark Horse needs characters to put out in books. Oh.
Why do you keep looking at it, perv?
Yeah.
Colin keeps looking at this insect
spore. I was kidding.
It would have been worse if he, like, walked off.
All right.
We're going to find Colin in the back of the store. Look at this bush. He's going, Hoochie Mamas.
you can't title the podcast that. It's too... I mean, it'll be right up there. Right there.
I didn't say I was going to.
And the 20-year-olds listen to this podcast like, what's a Hoochie Mama?
Colin saw plenty in Portland.
So what did you read last week, Colin?
Me?
I feel like we need to limit our books we read because we're already at 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, it's already 10 o'clock.
How about this?
That's not the cliff notes of your trip.
Blaming me.
Well, you know, an hour and a half of it was you.
How many books should each person do, Colin?
Three.
I was going to say two.
Well, yeah, I go with
most of what we keep, so.
I think you should get a bunch of books.
No.
He's at my
home. Everyone do two books.
I read all these last night. Well, I'm going to briefly summarize one. Avengers Standoff Assault on Pleasant Hill.
I just read that.
If you saw
Wayward
Pines, don't read this book because it's basically the same thing. It was seriously too much Wayward Pines. It's like
if you saw the show, you read the book already. So,
And it's supposed to be the prequel into Civil War II. I don't get it. Snowfall, I read. It's by the same guys that did Great Pacific, and it started to feel a little heavy handed. Basically, there's been a climactic incident, and now it doesn't snow anywhere anymore. So now you have this evil guy who's coming around making it snow, and there's corporations have taken over the world, and they're trying to fix it, but it doesn't work. But what they're doing is the United Corporations of America or cooperative or something. But basically, yeah, corporations have taken over, and it's bad, and climate change is bad, and it's a little heavy-handed as far as what it's saying. But this one kid goes out looking for this guy who's like the snow, the winter wizard or something. So, sadly, as you're reading, it's feeling like Great Pacific was about pollution in the oceans. This one's about climate change. It felt a little heavy-handed. Not bad, and it might get better, but this first one, you're kind of reading it, you're feeling like you're being...
I've heard other people say the exact same thing, heavy-handed.
Yeah, you feel like you're being scolded.
Yeah.
Then for one, that a book that I absolutely loved, I feel awful that I didn't love the first issue and didn't talk as highly of this book.
I loved enough for both of us.
As I should, but Superman American Alien number 4 was brilliant.
I would agree. It was a fantastic issue.
Yeah.
I think seven.
Seven.
The last one blew me away, and then this one, I'm like, okay, it's Jay Lee art.
Which really worked. I didn't think it would
work.
It was different than I'm used to
his art. Like, it's not the same as his art on Batman Superman.
Yeah.
It was different art, but basically it's young college student Clark Kent.
Like an intern.
Yeah. It's like a competition to do this article on some big announcement. He's there with Lois Lane, who he thought was Lewis Lane. So he was confused when he finally met her. He was expecting a guy. And it's just...
And the thing they're covering, it's this, you know, big meeting between Oliver Queen, Lex Luthor, and Bruce Wayne.
Right. And nobody's seen Bruce Wayne. Yeah, it's just basically, it's his first ever meeting with Lex Luthor, his first ever meeting with Lois Lane, second meeting with Oliver Queen, because apparently he was on the boat in the last...
Yeah, and that's how this kind of played out, is because...
Oliver Queen thought he was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's talking to Lois, and Queen sees him, and yells, Bruce Wayne, and and drags him aside.
There's a lot of identity issues.
Yeah.
Well, in the last issue,
but then he explains what happened, and Queen is, you know, just goes with it, and says, "Well, come on along. You can meet these guys and maybe get your interviews you're looking for." So that's how he ends up being able to interview Luther. And
Luther kind of dumps him in this. I don't even want to give away the end. Well, but Luther dumps him, and all of a sudden he's down like near the nursery almost. Well,
before that, though, his interaction, like just the interview with Luther and Luther's dialogue, spot on. It was absolutely perfect. It was it was
Luther, the egotistical. Luther. Yeah.
But in a way that it made sense. I mean, you understood what he was what he was saying, and then.
But then he kind of dismisses Clark. And Clark is down. I don't want to say nursery, but it wasn't nursery. He wasn't that young.
No, it was like the
daycare.
Like a daycare center, kind
of. But all of a sudden, this kid starts talking to him. And it said, what was the very first thing was, you're 6'2 and so many pounds, but you look so much bigger. Or you could be so much bigger. Something like that. And it turns out the kid is Dick Grayson.
Like he carries himself so much. Yeah.
And you see Grayson talking to him in his thinking, going, okay.
He's analyzing everything. Him, like Batman smells like would. Smoke, but he doesn't smoke. He must have took the Metro today.
He has car keys in his pocket. Why did he take the Metro? Car broken down, no car stolen, which was what happened at the beginning. And just, you know, what would Bruce think? You know, this is what Dick is going on in his head.
Skills and figure this thing.
He was doing originally at Nightwing. He would analyze things, and then they kind of
went back to it. And then he's like, well, I'll tell you... if you can tell me what's in my pocket. And, of course, Clark can tell him what's in his pocket. He's like, how do you know that? So then they go on a little meeting. And then... I forget why, but then all of a sudden he's starting to dictate. Luckily, his recorder worked, so he got every word that Lex said to him, so he's able to get it all down verbatim.
His interview with Oliver, his interview with Lex. He's thrilled. He, like, dances on the street... like in excitement
because he's all excited.
Just like a very down to earth human Clark.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, Batman shows up.
And like, who are you? Why did you?
Why the hell were you on my yacht?
Yeah, and stuff. It was very good. Clark, they start fighting, and he's like wailing on him. And of course, you know, he's Superman, so it's not having any effect. And he's like, how did you beat Deathstroke?
Yeah,
and then so he kind of fights back and rips off his costume. And he's like, okay, well, now I have an interesting headline. Do I say Batman is real? Because right now he's still a myth. Mm-hmm. Or do I say Bruce Wayne is Batman? And then Batman, like, does something to flash in his eyes and he's gone. And it shows him the last thing is he's up on the roof and he's got the cape and cowl still. And there's a voicemail from Lois saying, you know what? I talked to so-and-so, you talked to so-and-so. If we do this interview article together, it'll be epic. And he's standing there, and the last shot is him from behind with the cape fluttering. Okay. It was awesome.
This is going to be a fantastic trade.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, that first issue didn't do it for me. 2, 3, and 4 absolutely have nailed it.
And the first issue, we disagree. I like the first issue.
My concern reading the first issue, if it was going to be 7 issues of that,
no.
I wouldn't have liked. I didn't realize this is how this was going to go.
And I think having a different artist every issue has been awesome.
Why got to buy an art?
Well, it was only a 7-issue miniseries, so my fear was that based on that first issue, that's what it was going to be.
It's not like they haven't done origin stories.
But number one had, knowing this setup now, number
one was more of the traditional origin story.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to read it.
But it was necessary to kick things off.
But as long as two jumped off of it,
it did.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but I was just reading it going.
I mean, two, I think, took place 10 years after number one.
With Lois, like in the middle of the, it's just a picture of her with all this text around her. I'm like, what is this? And then you're reading it going, awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Okay. I'm done. Those are my 2.5.
Okay. So, for my first one, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, number 4.
Oh, sir.
That was really good.
It was. I thought it was awesome, especially that ending.
Oh, I didn't talk about something. I read The Valiant on the plane on the way down.
Oh, good.
So I have read it now. I'm up to speed. But it was funny. I was talking to Matthew from Valiant. And
Did you say the same thing to him you said to me?
Yeah. I said, so basically, the story I get from The Valiant is that he's the eternal loser instead of the eternal warrior, because all he does is lose every fight he has, every important fight he loses through the entire book. And so.
What did Matthew say?
He's like, well, no, it's more to show an eternal struggle and everything. And I'm like, but he lost every single time. Every single geomancer that he is there to protect, that is his one job, is to protect the geomancer, and every time they get killed.
Maybe they're not supposed. Maybe the same geomancer is not supposed to be around forever, though.
Like, could be. Yeah. Could be, but it's just, if that's his job, he failed every single time.
But I feel like maybe he's there to protect them against most threats,
okay.
But that it's one threat died. Finally there and...
Could be. But it's just, the way the new that, era. Just reading it from that book... Yeah. That's the only thing it shows him doing is mm-hmm. fighting the adversary
yeah.
and losing every single time. So that's all. So, but like, I knew what happened to Bloodshot, but it was nice reading it and yeah. seeing it. That was good. I think losing the arm was a little much, and the getting shot in the eye a little much, and especially didn't... I don't know if that really needed to be on the cover. The bleeding eye.
I think they wanted the... They put the eye in there just to show the capabilities that were... Yeah,
fair. But so I did enjoy it, but now I'm kind of up to speed. Although, because I've read that, I read Book of Death. I haven't read Beyond Issue 1.
I'm looking forward to, in 4001 AD, seeing Eternal Warrior's role in that. Because we've got a taste of him in the end of Rye. Well, not end. I thought that Rye, they just kind of silently, you know, stopped because 4001 AD is coming out, but it's coming back in May as well. Okay. So, which is good. I love Rye. But yeah, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 4. Not the bread. I'm not
a huge fan. I'm a pumpernickel guy, but that's...
Oh, that's worse.
I don't like Rye. I love Rye.
I didn't like Rye when I was a kid, the caraway seeds, but now I like quite a bit.
And see, I prefer it more with the seeds than without it.
Now I like it. Now it's great. I like Rye. But when I was a kid, I hated Rye's guts. Yeah. R-Y-E, not R-A-I.
Yeah.
So we're running over on time and we're having a bread discussion. Just pointing out.
Yeah.
Natural discussion.
I understand, but I'm saying you're blaming me for making this go long.
You talked about insects and looked at boobs.
We gave like a minute
minutes.
Of bread.
Well, keep on looking at boobs for 30 minutes. So.
For the recipes, go on the his
profile. Don't interrupt me, Dave.
It's
rude.
Sorry, Josh.
But yeah, this is a good book. So this concluded his, you know, struggle to get back out of this paradise / hell.
Through the iron door.
That he's in, yeah, through the iron door, his battle with Humongous.
Yeah.
Which that was a great fight between them, and I liked, you know, how they explain kind of why he has always won and why he will always win, that, you know, he is fighting for something, whereas, you know, his opponent doesn't. His opponent is just fighting just to stop him, but he hasn't. He doesn't. You know,
he has no stake in it or anything. Yeah.
And a really great twist ending that I did not expect at all.
Now, I didn't know what was going on there, but
neither do I.
Okay, and that's I neither didn't know if I. maybe I should have known. But
no, I don't know either. So he goes to the Iron Door, and the Iron Door is supposed to bring him back to
where
life.
He got killed, right?
And it makes it sound like it's supposed to bring him back to where the spot he got killed in. But he awakes, and he's not in where this spot he got killed in. And instead, he's in some like facility or some lab, and immediately he knows something's wrong. And then it shows someone who is observing him, and. Seems like there's plans for him, or he's going to be some sort of, you know, test subject or guinea pig, and it's leading to this next arc, Labyrinth. But yeah, really, really interesting, very, you know, unexpected ending, and definitely has me excited for the next arc to see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Lucifer number 3.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed this one also. So this is Lucifer and Gabriel still together, trying to find who killed God, and also we're getting another story that's mixed in of this girl who was an orphan and adopted by this, you know, very religious Christian
racist
family.
Racist
like
family.
Yeah, like she, I believe she's an orphan from
I think
an African
Haiti,
country or no Haiti was it? Because
they were speaking Creole, and that was a problem.
Okay, so. She was an orphan from, you know, we think Haiti, and gets adopted by this, you know, very white, very super religious, kind of racist and oppressive family.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, not letting her
speak to her brother, not letting her...
definitely can't speak Creole to her brother.
Can't speak Creole. Then they had her like locked in a closet at one point.
Yeah, they did kind of go Harry Potter.
They thought that she would have been younger. They weren't expecting a teenage girl. Yeah. They think that their boys will be, you know...
Tempted by
sin and be attracted to her. They have her going door-to-door trying to spread the word, the religion. So we're seeing all this mixed in, and we have Gabriel and Lucifer who have to go to the dream kingdom or dream world to further their investigation, and we don't ever see Dream himself. We see Matthew, the raven, who makes it clear that they're not to, you know, approach the castle or try to seek out Morpheus himself. What's that?
The treasure.
The treasure. And Gabriel kind of has another rough issue.
Yeah, I think that's like his lot in the book is to get beat up and, you know, torn apart, and
yeah,
he's like eaten partially, and
yeah, we think the raven is Matthew, and then we find out that the raven is not. It's not Matthew Cable, was that the guy's name? Yeah, it's not Matthew Cable. And that raven kind of, like, rips his eye out, rips some of his flesh off. And then the story takes a weird turn, and Lucifer is, you know, telling Gabriel that he's dreaming and that he knows who killed God.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Lucifer's wearing, like, a detective, you know, trench coat.
Yeah.
And Eve and Lilith are, you know, wearing, like, these
50s dresses. Like dream sequence.
Yeah, it was really weird. I don't know quite where they're going with it, but the whole issue, like, it was enjoyable and it was very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know what's coming next in the next issue. And the other story, the girl. So the house that they knocked on to try and spread the word ended up being the house where the girl who found, like, the jar with the demons in it, her friend's house where she killed her friends, where it was her ex-boyfriend, I guess, and his wife.
Who was her best friend in high school.
Best friend. So they're still dead in the kitchen. She answers the door, lets the kids in, asks the kids if they want some lemonade. The kids kind of have a bad feeling, and she comes out with the lemonade, the demon jar, and a knife, and she kills the one little boy. And then all of a sudden the girl, you know, stops her and saves the girl that the family's oppressing, saves the other daughter, her sister. Yeah. And then the woman ends up getting killed with a knife, but then this girl takes the demon jar. She doesn't give into it yet, but it's definitely trying to tempt her into doing something. But just a really, really interesting story they're telling with this book. I was not very, you know, up on knowledge with the character, you know, with this version of the character Lucifer.
Like, I never read any of the Sandman stuff.
I'm reading Sandman right now.
Okay.
I just finished volume 4 in the trades, so I'm very far behind on all these characters. Like, what I just read was, you know, where Lucifer first is in Sandman and his, you know, retiring from hell and giving hell to Morpheus is where I'm at right now.
Okay.
So, but it's good. It's really good. I really, 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 really like it. David?
Dave? Hawk number 4.
I read that.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Hawk number 4. We get the big twist, big conflict in this issue. It starts off with kind of a flashback to Hawk's mom and Siberia, and she kind of has the same powers as Hawk. She's running through the snow and jumping to get away from the Russians.
Yeah.
And then you have Tom, Hawk's brother Tom, explaining all this to him, and about how they were Russia and the United States were developing a super soldier program, and she had kids, and she got away, and they split up the kids. To keep both of them safe. And so they go decide to try to find their mom. Well, I guess Tom kind of encourages it.
and along the way, they're rescuing zoo animals, and Hux, you know, watching ducklings cross the street. And then they get to their mom.
Well, and every time, though, that he, as they were driving there, every little incident yeah. that happened, he had to stop and save them or find this or do that.
I really liked
that. Until they got there, the point where the brother was just like, okay, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
The ducks were funny, though.
That was great. That was a great little scene. I love that stuff. But they get to their mom, and the mom's like, I only had one kid.
Yeah.
And then Tom wrestles. Wrestles Huck to the ground or something, and all the Russians come out.
Yeah. Well, he uses, like, some sort of power or something. He blasted her with his hand or something. Flew backward.
Okay.
The thing about this issue I liked was, which issue, what number was this for?
Four.
In three issues, they didn't really get anywhere, but in this issue, a lot happened.
Kind of.
So it was good. I think it kind of makes up now. I think it'll read really well as a trade.
Yeah.
But it is. It's been a fun story.
It's really good. Yeah, I want to see what's going on.
Says this like anymore. His writing, Miller's writing, has been kind of like almost like Spielberg movie like. And he's been doing that with a lot of his covers, anyways. Like one was E.T., and this last one was E.T. cover. Yeah. But it's a very different feel from him, from where he was with Kick-Ass to Huck. You know,
I said that. I said that last year when Starlight was coming out that I really enjoyed that, and I hope he does more.
His whole
more like, stuff like that, and which he has, and even with Chrononauts.
Yeah, that was very different. I mean, very different, even from Huck. So he has a lot of variety in his writing. So, no, it was really good.
I plan on picking up Starlight during the S sale.
Oh, okay. I recommend it.
I was, I forget where I was at, but I had my iPad with me, and I had time to kill. So I was looking through my Comixology account, and I saw that I had a free issue of Starlight number 1 there from, like, something a while back.
Okay.
So I just had to read it, finally. And it was really good.
It is really good.
On the S sale, Collins Alphabet sale, 20% off right now. It's E&Q.
Only two more weeks.
Whenever it hits to S, I plan on picking up Starlight. Check it out.
You can.
I will.
Boy, somebody's now listening. They're like, I'm going to get
it. I'm going to get all the Starlights first.
You'll be like, oh.
And speaking of Starlight, I want to talk about Starve, the return of Starve. Issue number 6, also an S.
I'm trying to see where you got that trade.
Well, it's also an S, and you can pick up the first trade.
I believe your segue should have been speaking of S books.
Speaking of S books.
There we go.
Starve.
Do-over. We fixed that editing. Sorry.
Starve returned with issue number 6 after a hiatus. This is the book about Chef. Gavin Cruikshank, and in the previous 5 issues, he was in exile, and he came back to take control of his Starve, which is like a cooking competition show, but now it's catering. He wants to take it back because it's been catering to the rich and the privileged. And this issue has a lot of character development with Gavin. He's kind of like a different person now, because in the previous issue, he's been battling with his estranged wife, and she kind of went crazy and stabbed him in the chest. So in this issue, he goes to a hearing, and he decides not to press charges against her. And not only that, he gives her all, you know, the residuals on the Starve, on the television show, all the merchandise. He just wants to turn over a new leaf and, you know, get on with his life. And part of that is he eats at this horrible fried chicken restaurant, and as he's walking out, he decides to buy it because he wants his own restaurant again. And as he says in the book, an old dog, new tricks, let's go. So a lot of development of the character in this issue, and I really want to see where it goes. And the art it's a cool, you wouldn't think, like, it's about cooking, you know, and he has a lot of stuff about, it's so tough to draw food, I think, but some of the panels are, like, really, like, at the beginning of the book, he's, like, they're on a boat fishing for crabs, he makes this, like, crab ravioli, and they show these photo, the, you know, drawings of the ravioli, and the, his...
It's because nobody puts that much detail on food usually. And the guys, it's kind of and you, a side.
You can like feel it because the guy he's competing against looks at it, and in the little caption boxes, he already knows he lost.
I want to answer this question honestly.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself salivating reading this book?
Probably, because he gives a lot of descriptions. You know, of food and how it should be cooked and how it should taste and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
The book should be like the Wonka walls where you get lick it, know what it takes.
I haven't been licking the book.
And then trade it in a column.
It's really interesting.
Makes really Dave hungry. If that's an endorsement, I don't know what it is.
This book makes Dave hungry.
And those are my two books. That's it.
Okay. First one we'll talk about is Sinestro. So, Sinestro has recruited some Earth heroes to help fight back the Pale Bishop and his minions. The Pale Bishop is actually a previously unknown guardian of the universe who has completely gotten rid of all emotion. Back on Earth, like, Black Adam, Superman, Wonder Woman, Harley Quinn, Deathstroke have all been recruited as Yellow Lanterns to help fight this back. So kind of the whole point of the book, this issue was he just tried to repress it. He tried to use fear against Sinestro, and by doing that, he let Sinestro into his own mind, and he was able to defeat him that way. But it pretty much takes everything out of Sinestro, and he decided to make his daughter Sorenik the new leader of the Sinestro Corps. Throughout the series, there's been a lot of internal struggle between the two about, well, you know, you want to save people, but, you know, your methods. And so now she has control of the Sinestro Corps. The other one I wanted to talk about was Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah.
So I think this one picked up a lot from the last issue.
Yeah, I still have some problems with the art, though.
I do, too. I won't say what the faces were, but there were some that definitely were.
There was something. That's what they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... the art feels so rushed on this. There must be more to it than what I think, because to me, I think you get four artists, and they each, you know, do a round robin on the issues.
Now, I don't remember who did art on this issue, but the previous two issues did have the same artist, so they were probably doing back-to-back.
Yeah,
that's not how it should be.
No, it's not, but that's how they did it. The advantage is, unlike when they did Batman Eternal, and there was essentially four different storylines going on, they could kind of work on their own storyline, and it was up to editing to put it out.
That made it make a bit more sense whenever, you know, you had different art styles because it was a different storyline. So maybe their concern is that you have two books, you know, 1 week apart that are following the same story and have very different art styles. But
yeah,
I'd rather have, you know, each book look a little bit different than have a kind of a mess because we're trying to rush through to have the same artist do.
I agree, because it's a fairly good quality story.
Yeah.
It should have a little
bit better art.
Better quality.
Like, hats off to DC for keeping this on schedule.
Yeah.
And keeping the other ones on schedule. And they haven't missed a beat there. I think there's a way they can do that and still put out
quality. They're just not doing it in the right order. Yeah. They're not using their artists in the right order.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think if they had more, they had the time to sit there and do it, move to the next. Yeah, just like you said, it would work better. What do you think of the fix to Nightwing?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
I did too. It was.
The satellite looks stupid.
Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And
we talked about that last week on the show.
Yeah.
You
were here, so we got smart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
meant to fill in for him. He's normally he's the doctor on the show.
Yeah.
That's true.
Can't take it that way.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought it was a little too convenient with the way they did it and
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, so I...
Especially for, like, what we've been reading. Like, man, you've been reading Grayson. I don't know.
No.
It just seems like it can have a little better of a conclusion to his run of Grayson than just that.
Well, but Tom King didn't write this.
Oh, I know that. It's just still, this is going to be the end of this Grayson.
We have too many status quo changes for Dick Grayson. He's Nightwing.
Yeah.
And then he's a spiral spy. Yeah. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And then he is...
He joins the Court of Owls.
Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which... And then he's going to be Nightwing again. And it's like, just give some time.
I hope that's where they go in the direction of this Nightwing book, where they left it with the Court of Owls stuff. I hope that's where they're taking that. Otherwise...
Well, it was kind of the point of that, yeah.
So,
I wonder what... They probably never didn't say this at all, but...
Race on.
Maybe they did. Do you have any idea of when DC decided to do this whole rebirth thing? Like, at what point this all?
They had to have it in some order because they know, like, issues where they're ending. Like, Justice League, that arc has to end.
Well, but that's just it. I don't think that
maybe
there was any way they were going
to... a lot of stuff ending and going, okay, we have to do something.
I just wonder if it came...
There was no way they were going to kill it before another
issue. If the idea for it came before or after. Okay,
Robin War.
Robin War probably was decided on before they thought about Rebirth.
Yeah.
Okay. Because some of the things they've done to me seem like, why would you have done that if you're going to be...
If you're going to be doing that.
Doing this anyways.
But it's a soft reboot, too. It was a
refreshing.
Harder reboot.
Marvel did. They just refresh. They didn't relaunch or reboot. They just refreshed.
Isn't that what a shower? Isn't that usually what a soft
They re-iced the cupcake. And
re-cheese the pizza.
All right, Adam, what'd you read?
I read Amazing Spider-Man. This was the conclusion of this Mr. Negative storyline. I actually like the conclusion. It was actually pretty good. I'm just not a big fan of this business Peter Parker, like this, Spider-Man International. I'm not a fan of because like he's like Carmen Sandiego. He goes to every country, every arc. So like next is he's going to Europe next, but they showed a lot of stuff with London and.
Just sorry to interrupt. There was this great cosplay picture. It was Waldo and Carmen Sandiego standing next to
them.
I thought that was very funny.
They found him. Yeah. That's funny. This arc ended pretty good. I was a little concerned for this book. I wish it would go in a different direction, but it was fine. It felt like a Spider-Man story, more than the first arc did with the Zodiac storyline. But this one, it looks like this next arc is going back into that Zodiac storyline. So that's the big... That's the big like thing in the background is Zodiac and this entire series, and then you have little things happening here and there in between is what he's doing. But it's okay. But this issue ended pretty well, so I liked it. The other thing I read, the second book, I'll go with Robin, Son of Batman. This movie or this
I read
book,
it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I this it's kind of. They're not going anywhere. Maybe they already know that this... Because this is one of the books that's going to end, right?
Yes.
So they must know, because they're not doing anything.
No, it absolutely felt like it was just...
I feel
we
like
need to put out three more issues and let's just put in crap.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff with... they're not nobodies, but they're dressed like nobody.
Yeah.
that made no sense.
I didn't get where they were coming from.
Yeah,
the
Bat Freaks, I had no idea, like, where did that come from?
I don't know why they threw them in there, characters to throw in there. I don't remember the one being created by Damian. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was
that.
Like two of them got really smashed together, and they were like,
I remember
Batman
these characters because Morrison used them. He used them a lot. The guy with the Batarang. They're all people that were, like, damaged by Batman.
Yeah.
One in particular, which is kind of funny, the guy with the Batarang, like, stuck out of his head and through the other side. And he has two different conversations going on at all times.
It reminds me of, like, Steve Martin with the
wild and crazy guy.
Wild and crazy guy. This guy is. He's wild and crazy.
Yeah.
But for, you know, reasons.
I thought the first part of the book was good.
Yeah.
Where he was kind of swinging through, and then he, you know, was kind of overwatching Bruce, and you know, I'm going to uphold your legacy till you come back.
Yeah, it did. It had a nice feel to it, because they were showing, like, you know, well, they haven't showed much about Damian and this whole thing with Bruce with no memory. Like, he has a child, and everybody just forgot.
Yeah.
Because they brought him out in the public before. It's not like this.
They don't know.
Not. So where did they think when Bruce Wayne lost his memory, where did the public think his child went? Like, nobody's even asked about this kid either before anyway. So it's just, it feels like they've given up.
Yep.
It really has. And it just wasn't a great story.
I did like the last page,
I liked when
though.
Goliath showed up.
Yeah, where he introduced him.
I thought when Goliath showed up.
Yeah.
When he showed up at the top and you think it's Batman. A lot of times you look at it, they wanted you to be like, oh, it's Batman that showed up to help him out. But it wasn't. It was Goliath, and he swims in, takes him out. And but the only thing is, it contradicts what happened before, because he gave Goliath to the girl, I thought.
But it doesn't, because it shows her somewhere else.
Yeah, she's somewhere else.
But that's just it. It shows her leading just a normal civilian life. So
it was that really
she couldn't have a bat demon with her.
No, but it was so out of nowhere, because it seemed like she was going to stay with wherever she was staying in the previous few issues. It just... I don't know, but anyway, he introduced Goliath. He was like
Pennyworth
the cat,
Bat-Cow,
and
Ace.
And Ace, or no, it's Titus.
That's right, yeah, Titus.
And he was just like, "This is Goliath." And, one thing I want to give him credit for: in one of the issues, he gets punched in the face, loses a tooth,
and they kept that
he had this big space in his teeth the whole time. So
yeah,
I was like,
kind of doing the Michael
Strahan
thing.
It's good for the artist
thing.
To keep that. A little bit of, you know, continuity. That's what it was. But, kind of giving up on that book.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till it's done and see where what are they replacing that with? Is it going to be a Robin book? I thought I heard something about this one. But those are my two books.
Okay.
So what's coming up next week?
What's coming up? Not a whole lot, to be honest. It's about the lightest week.
I don't know. I feel like last week was light.
This one's light. We got A-Force, number 3. Woo! Amazing Spider-Man and Silk Spider-Fly effect. Yeah. The Spider-Fly effect, because you need a crossover already. Army of Darkness, Furious Road. Avengers Standoff, Assault on Wayward Pines. Black Widow, number 1. Darth Vader, 17. Deadpool, number 8, Pat.
Woo!
Discipline, number 1. That's a new one from Image. Green Lantern 50, Invincible Iron Man number 7. This is the first of the Road to Civil War number 2 issues. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 1, Old Man Logan number 3, Predator Life and Death number 1. I believe that one's Dan Abnett. I think Brian Wood is doing the Aliens one. Spider-Man number 2, Swamp Thing number 3, Uncanny Avengers number 6, Uncanny X-Men number 4. This was all new week. Next week's Uncanny Week. Vampirella Volume 3, number 1, and Walking Dead 152. So,
Walking Dead. Is that coming out like bi-weekly?
Shush, you can't do that monthly. So says God of Comics, Eric Larson, or Eric Stevenson. Yeah, just that whole speech came across very condescending.
That's not the only time he's done that.
No, it's not. So,
if you're listening to this podcast,
we've done longer. We're only at 218, to be honest with you.
What should you stop and do?
We can drag this out.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Pull over to the side of the road and listen calmly.
If they're listening to this podcast the day it comes out, shouldn't they stop and put their previews order in with you?
Oh, yeah.
So when you said that, if you're listening to this podcast, what should people do? I'm like, yeah.
I did say on the last week's podcast, I said previews were just doing the 26th, but it's not posted, so.
Oh, okay. I just
that wouldn't have hurt anyway.
Busy. Oh no, you're right.
I try to do good.
I appreciate it.
For the DHU sale, you kind of messed up at the beginning, but then we fixed it. Like,
not that it matters.
Yeah, I guess it's not up.
When did you expect me to do it?
I don't know. I thought you would get home and come pick up the microphone and then just do it.
Right. It's 7 o'clock at night on Sunday. I'd kind of swing by and grab it.
It's really hard
to edit. You got home?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I was here Monday.
I guess
but...
added all the language out of it.
Just one.
Is your podcast doing one?
So, yeah, previews orders are due Thursday, so please let me know if there's anything you want, need, can't live without.
They don't need anything.
Yes, they do. Shh, shh.
They need it all.
They need it all. Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon fan.
So that's about it.
The Valiant sale ends the end of the month, so Monday is the last day?
Something like that.
Yeah, Monday's the last day of the month.
It's 29th, so. So next week will be, what, E&R?
E&R, yeah. What's your favorite R pick?
R pick.
What's your favorite E pick? Which favorite R pick?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
What's your
I'm
R pick?
I'm seeing East of West. I agree greatly. But it was Earth X. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's good.
Pat, I was trying to come up with it, but I kept going Earth 2, and I knew that was wrong.
Give us an R pick and an E pick.
Put me on the spot.
You think of one, too, Dave.
R is that tough one.
All right, I'm going to say for R.
Rocketeer.
Revival.
Ooh, there.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say Revival. All right, so for R, then, since Colin has great taste and took mine, I'm going to say Rye for R. And
you like the brand.
Right.
And yeah. I'll go with Eternal Warrior.
And Pumpernickel for P. oh, wait, no. Yeah, yeah. It'll be R. Q-R-S, yeah.
Pat, you think of
this? Late.
Red Lanterns.
Red Lanterns. Ooh. Also, Red Sun would be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Red Sun would be a real good one. Yeah. Okay.
And what about E, Pat?
See? Yeah, I panic. And he's like, oh, you don't know.
So I didn't do that.
No, Josh did.
Those are your Valiant books you can throw out there. Like, you can throw out Eternal Warrior.
I said two Valiant books. I said Eternal Warrior and Rye. Oh. Just now.
Oh.
Eternal Loser.
Oh.
How many Geomancers have you protected?
I have, but it's not my job.
Too soon. He just came back to life.
I know.
Just came back to life.
Hope that little girl doesn't get killed.
Same. Breathy.
Well, she came out of a crate. That was weird. Keeps kids in crates. I have to say, just to get back to that, I like how they introduced all the characters. I definitely want to read Quantum and Woody now to see about this goat shooting laser beams out of its eyes. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You've
never seen a goat do that?
I have never seen that happen. So that was one pretty cool scene in the Valiant. Yeah, where it made you kind of go,
we have brought that love and all.
I got to see about this. So that was
picked up a trade for Quantum Woody miniseries today that I didn't have.
So. But yeah, so to let me know what previous orders you'd like to make, you can always email me, Colin@PittsburghComics. I'm sure there's something on the website. I was just kind of following up. You can always, there's something on the website to contact me, but it's also Colin@PittsburghComics.com.
There is. It's kind of hidden. It's a big, giant contact me button.
There you go. I'm not perusing the site. I go there to look for exactly what I'm looking for. Which I can always find. No, I'm kidding.
It's blue.
Says push.
Facebook, lots of people like to message me on Facebook. Dave, every Tuesday night, sends me a
and if you look, note on the green, Facebook page. It says he is very responsive.
It does. It says it's like he'll respond in minutes now.
Wow.
It used to say within the hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then I always wonder, is it like to the first message, or what if we have a little chain, and sometimes like the last one, I don't really need to respond, you know. Yeah, can you hold this for me? Sure thing. Thanks. Do I need to come back with another response at that to keep my rating? Whatever.
I think the first response.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then also on Twitter, you can message me. Sadly, I don't get the push notifications on Twitter for some reason. So sometimes I don't see the messages and things. So my reaction time is not as good there because I don't get the little push notification.
You get it for your personal account.
I do, yeah, which I don't needed that one at all. The personal
on your Instagram or
on your desktop, you can install like TweetDeck.
Yeah, you know, I played with that, and then it got so obsessive. There was just so much there. It's like this would be like a full time job doing this. you're scheduling tweets and all this stuff. It's like, it seems a little complicated.
That helps you out.
Yeah.
That's what you could have stuff firing off all weekend long.
True,
when you're gone.
True. So you're just saying I need to get more organized?
Yeah.
I think we've been saying that for a while.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Put in a little bit of extra time initially to save yourself time in the long run.
Slip time to it.
You can do that too.
There you go. But it's at PGH Comics. Yeah. And then, or just swing by the store. Call me at the store.
Submit podcast questions. You will get an error if you use the form on the website, but it does go through. Ignore the error. We did find out why the error is happening, and the developers are working on it.
Cool.
They were very thankful over troubleshooting and finding out exactly what the conflict
was. Nice. Good. Good, Josh. Being a rock star.
And Colin dealt with the 20 test messages.
You told me to ignore them, and I ignored them. So I felt like I always want to respond back.
I don't think I went to 20. Yeah. I think I got to 16 before I figured out exactly what it was.
But I always want to respond back with something, you know, because he's going test, and I just want to go, you know, like sibilance.
It's like test sibilance. One, test two, yeah. Test three.
Sibilance. Did you know where that's from?
Okay. Wayne's World.
Yeah, thank you.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Excellent. Dave's my guy. I didn't even interrupt him tonight, you know? Did you realize I took great pains? I know I did. I wasn't trying to, but I mentioned, and then, you know, I said, I hope I didn't interrupt Dave. And he responded back, of course you did.
He like, cried.
From 3 hours away. 18, how many? 3,000 miles?
Like that
yeah, like the guy has
a the pollution commercial.
Back to work.
All right.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk.
He didn't say it last week.
I did.
Oh, you jerk.
Nobody ever did.
You jerk.
That was
Dave, would you like to say it again? Yeah, Dave.
You were running the show, and it's your line.
No, whenever it's...
You're just like, all right,
if I'm running the show, then it's somebody else's line. Otherwise, I would be Colin's line.
Say the damn line so we can end the podcast.
I did just say it.
Say it again.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.